Nothing to report. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the PSB. Everything looks good. Westbound 64 from 15th onto the PSB. No problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split onto the Missouri Bank looks good as well. And finally this hour, northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. No delays at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by International Star Registry. International Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list. It's the ultimate gift. International Star Registry at 1-800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 71. Liz Brown will be back on Monday, as the wake-up call will be live with Liz on Monday. However, we will have a live wake-up call beginning at 7 o'clock with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith. Until then, we have the best of the wake-up call. It's hour number 2 of the interview yesterday. Enjoy this best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brother. Help me, sister.
The following is the best of the wake-up call. Irene J. Smith will be filling in live for Liz, who's on vacation beginning at 7 o'clock this morning, right here on AM 920. Now the best of the wake-up call.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, and we are really bringing you an amazing story about what really happened on 9/11 and what really happened through the eyes of a man, the eyes and the ears of a man who was there on 9/11. And the eyes of a reporter that has been following this and pulling this together. And I just want to say, for those of you that had the opportunity to catch the last hour, as an attorney, I have, I don't know that I've ever heard of a person able to articulate and to describe and to be as amazing in their detail of recounting a story, and as a human being, I don't know that I've heard of a more heroic actions than those that were engaged in by William Rodriguez, who is joining us from New York City. But there's more of the story to tell. There's the story William and Greg have told us about an explosion that took place in the basement of the North Tower. Greg and William have told us about explosions and mysteries on the way up the North Tower. There's more to this story, and we have to continue this. We've extended our interview to this hour, and I want to welcome back Greg Szymanski, a reporter, the American Free Press and Arctic Beacon, joining us from L.A. Greg, welcome back.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. And William Rodriguez, good morning and welcome back. William.
Hello, can
yes,
you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, William.
Okay.
Welcome
Thank
back.
You for your words, and you humbled me more with that description of what we just spoke about. It's really been an emotional journey, not only of the problems that we had, but at the same time, if you recall going back to that time, talking about the first couple of months after 9/11, about the, you know, after I was pulled from the rubble, I did countless of interviews, CNN, well, all the national networks, they covered the story, and I said my story unedited that day, but then I realized that as time went by, everybody started changing the story.
You mean they started taking it out? They started taking your story out?
Yeah, they started taking the parts of the explosion. They were just putting what it was practically what they wanted to put on the networks. And I figure, because I work on several shows before, I was a magician, so I did many television shows as a magician in my earlier years. I understood that they have a time constraint. So I figured it was editing because of the time. But as it happened continuously, but at the same time, I noticed that the Latino press all over the world was putting my statement unedited because it was such a compelling story that they didn't want to even dare to touch it, to even change a word. They would put the story as it was all over the world in Spanish, but it was not crossing over in English. And I said, oh, my God, this is too strange. And as time passed by, we organized automatically after 9/11, due to the amount of media attention that I was getting, the first family group, which was the Hispanic victims group, and then we did the victim support group. And as you may recall, we went to Congress to ask for an official investigation of what happened on 9/11.
And if I could just interrupt you just for 1 second, because before we get to after the explosion, I want to go back, because let me get to Greg here just for 1 second, will you?
Okay, sure.
William described this. William, what floor was that you heard noises on that you weren't?
34th floor.
Greg, what do you make of that?
Well, here's the interesting thing about William's story, is that you got to look at this thing from what's happened in America. The government has always told everybody in this country, I mean, everybody outside of those who may be listening to alternative media sources, very few people, that the jet fuel from that plane caused this massive building to fall. Now, if you listen to William's testimony and to the other people that verify him, three other people that I've listened to tapes to, not only the 14 people that were in that room with William on sub-level one, there was a massive explosion seconds prior to the plane hitting. Now, what is that all about? Now, you would think if the 9/11 Commission was serious about finding out the truth, they would haul in every one of these people and meticulously investigate this. And not only meticulously investigate these people, but hundreds of other people that were probably in that building that heard the same thing. There were many people down there. Mr. Giambanco talks about looking through the elevator when it stalled and watching people screaming and running between B2 and B2 or B3. Now, why didn't they even bother to investigate this? Well, here's what happened. They didn't talk to Giambanco, Sanchez, or the other people. They did pull Mr. Rodriguez into the 9/11 Commission in 2004, but they pulled him in behind closed doors. After he told his testimony, his name wasn't even in the report. Now, do you think the media would ever question that? Well, here's what happened after that. NBC calls Mr. Rodriguez after the 9/11 Commission hearings and says, Mr. Rodriguez, we're going to send over a crew. So Dan Pasternak, the head of NBC Investigations, sends a crew over. They film him for 8 hours, and then never run the film at all. Now, I called Pasternak, and I asked him, I said, well, what happened? He said, well, it wasn't the there was nothing new. That wasn't the focus of our story.
They filmed him for 8 hours?
And never ever aired 1 second of what he said.
Well, that's a lot of time. That's an awful lot of time for a media a media company like that to take that much time and show nothing.
And then the New York Times, on top of that, over the years since Mr. Rodriguez originally told his story, which I might add never has changed from day one, they have either taken his story and manipulated it, so when he told them about the bombs, it never appeared in the paper, or never ran his story. And when a book was written by two reporters named Kevin Flynn and Jim Dwyer called 102 Minutes, The Real Survivor Story, when Mr. Rodriguez told the entire story to them, he was never, ever put in the book. The story about the survivors, without Mr. Rodriguez, to me, is an incomplete account of what happened that morning. And mysteriously, when I called Mr. Flynn, the reporter for the Times, and asked him why, all he could say was that, basically, first of all, they didn't want to comment. NBC and the Times officially will not comment, saying they do not comment on their news gathering when I wrote the story about this. And Flynn gives this flimsy excuse that, something, we just had so much, and even sent an email to Mr. Rodriguez. Mr. Flynn basically said to me he doesn't want to talk to a third party about this, to have Mr. Rodriguez call. Mr. Rodriguez was upset and didn't want to call, but finally wrote him an email and got a response like this. There was so much material, we didn't have room for you.
And
he's a national hero.
William, you are a national hero. Talk to us about, what do you think? What you heard on the 34th floor?
Well, personally, like I said, I knew it was an empty floor. It was a hollowed out floor that when a company moves out from the World Trade Center, they take everything down to the bare walls. And there's no floor, there's no carpeting, there's no walls, sheetrock, or anything like that. It was totally empty. What I heard was heavy equipment, like a dumpster with steel wheels being moved around, that kind of sound. And it was very strange, and I got scared.
Were you surprised that you got scared? Were you surprised that you felt fear?
Yes, I was surprised that I felt fear, because from the whole ordeal, I never for once was afraid of what was going to happen to me, because I was so busy thinking about everybody else. I was totally, it was a total displacement of personality. But at that moment, I was like, oh my God, what is that noise? And I knew it was an empty floor, and nobody was there. The fire department and the police officer was on the 27th floor, and I was alone. Because they all collapsed on the floor, remember, and I continued going up by myself, opening doors and letting people out. And the people on the 33rd floor, there was a lady that, I tried to make the story a little shorter, but there was a lady trembling on the floor that she didn't even know where the exits were. That gives you another idea of how bad it was, the training drills in the building. They only did training drills twice a year. That's really bad for a building that was a city within a city, and with over close to 70,000 workers there. The amount of turnaround of people coming and leaving was a constant. So they should have a mandatory training for everybody that worked in the building, and it wasn't like that. So this lady, I found her later on, and I didn't want to make it too graphical for your listener, but when I came out, I found her cut in half, and is the only body that I recognize. And apparently she came out and said, oh my God, I saved myself, and a piece of glass from the top of the building went down with such a force that I practically cut her in half. But anyway, on that moment, I put her on the stairwell, and there were people coming down. I say, take her out. And she was trembling. She had no shoes either. That's when I heard this kind of strange movement. And I said, no, this is wrong. I remember I had the master key. So what I did was, I did not even dare opening the door. I bypassed that floor, and I continued to the upper floors.
Now, Mr. Rodriguez, you were pulling body parts out. You were rescuing people. You were diving in and saving people. That scared you so much that you couldn't open that door.
That is correct. That is correct. It was such a sense of something was wrong there, but at the same time, I didn't even want to concentrate on what was there. I said, no, I'm not even going to open the door. I continued to the other floors because I was so desperate of getting the most amount of people in the less amount of time possible because I didn't know what was happening. Besides, I never expected the building to collapse.
Mm.
Nobody did.
Mm.
And so, you know, it was a strange feeling. So you have to follow your heart,
mm-hmm.
that it was something wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And that's why it stayed second by second that day in my mind. I will not, how can I say, it has not gone through the metamorphosis of a survival story that 2 or 3 years after you start changing facts. No, it has stayed so clear because I have lived this every single day. And besides being one of the leaders of the families, I've been asked this story over and over and over. So it's never been a time for me to elaborate something different. So it's, in a way, been a catharsis as a survivor, but at the same time, it's been crucial so I could see where the problems were and where the changes have been made on the facts. And on top of that, the reality that knowing that, you know, there's so much information that was not actually put up for the public to actually digest. And we asked our family members when the commission was created, and I'm sorry I jumped to the 9/11 commission, is because we asked so many questions. We created a family steering committee, and we would never get the answers that we wanted.
Do the families, if I may interrupt just for a moment, Mr. Rodriguez, are the families upset that the 9/11 commission is not investigating the explosions that you told them about?
The families not only upset, they are tired. Families have had to deal with so much problems, not only because of the investigation, but dealing with their post-traumatic shock disorder, the problems with the family members, the breaking up of families. There's a big story behind 9/11 that we haven't talked about and people haven't even explored of all the problems that it has created in terms of the society. And it has been too much for them to digest. Are they tired constantly? Remember, they have been made, at least here in the United States, 9/11 is an everyday talk.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we have gone through has been because of 9/11. I just came back from a speaking tour through Europe, the Jimmy Walters speaking tour. These philanthropists put together this group of experts, and we went all over Europe. And would you believe that it was the first time, Liz, that I felt that I was actually being listened to correctly, that the people were more aware of what was going here than we do when we're here? They say, you know, we're getting the news undiluted, and you guys are getting something different. And we don't believe, and I have the same question, every country that we went to. We went to Vienna, Rome, Amsterdam, Paris, Madrid, London, and we asked the same question. Do you believe the official story of 9/11? And everybody said no. We couldn't find one single person that said yes. And this is Europe. And here, people are taking it for granted. People are, oh, well, they did an investigation, and that's the end of it. No, it's not the end of it, because it was a hush-hush. It was actually something that we did not expect, that it was going to be manipulated that way. When you have stories, and I'm not talking about my story alone, and I don't want to be put myself as the image of all the survivors of what happened on 9/11, it happens that nobody else is talking about it. And the problem here is very simple, is that the 9/11 commission did not take in consideration the survivor stories. They put one or two and that was it.
And
they just spoke to the people that were there.
And
they were so much busy concentrating on the head of the fire department, the head of the police department, the head of the EMS. Of course they're going to do something different because they have to protect the department interest. When you have the people that were there that give you a different account, that's what you should go and investigate.
Yeah, well, that's
I
why
have to fight.
All right, and I have
to be on the commission.
We have to take a break, William. I'm talking to Mr. William Rodriguez. I'm talking to Greg Seismansky. We're talking about what really happened on 9/11. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break, you know, and please don't forget that you can always, if you have missed this hour, why don't you pick it up at WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you want somebody to hear this story, get on over to WhiteRoseSociety.org, download this story, pass it on, pass on the truth. I'll be back.
What can you see?
Following has been the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll have more of that coming up following these brief messages and traffic and weather. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's weather and traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Commerce Bank. Westbound 5570 at 4th Street, there's an accident. The right lane is blocked. There are no delays. Traffic is just busy across the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Bowles, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. There's a short backup. Eastbound 40 at Callahan, expect slow traffic due to an earlier accident. It has been cleared, but there's still some delays due to the accident. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway, there's construction going on there, and that will cause some tie-ups. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around there. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and McKnight, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Northbound 270 at 44, look for everything on the move. Westbound 255 from 55 to Telegraph, look for no problems there. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to Florissant, look for New Florissant, look for no problems as well. Northbound 55 at the Poplar Street Bridge is stop and go to construction on westbound 70 west of the Dome. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything's flowing freely. Northbound Route 3 at the PSB, no problems there. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Commerce Bank. Need a quick way to make purchases and track expenses? Get a free Visa business check card with your small business free checking account from Commerce Bank, member FDIC. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Or today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the lower 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown will be back on Monday. Irene J. Smith will join us in top of the 7 o'clock hour. But right now it's back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568. 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
It takes a village to raise a child. That African proverb has special meaning to Hope for the Nations. In locations in 20 countries worldwide, Hope for the Nations combines education, micro-enterprise, agriculture, healthcare, and housing under one roof. These villages bring together the young and the old, the healthy and the sick, singles, families, and the widowed, the weak and the strong, united to build buildings, build families, build resources, build community. It takes you and your support to help Hope for the Nations raise these villages. For more information, go online, visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears. 3425 Union. Black-owned and black-operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Irene J. Smith will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Liz Brown will be back on Monday, September the 12th, with live programming. Until then, this is the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
There must be a better world somewhere.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You can reach me at 1-877-920-WGNU. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. You can check out my column at lizbrown.com and the Through Brown Eyes portion of my website. And you can always pick up an hour, an extra hour, another hour, all the hours of the wake-up call because it's archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. I am talking to Mr. William Rodriguez and Mr. Greg Seismansky, and we're talking about the what really happened on 9/11. William, I'd like to come back to you and talk about what did you tell the 9/11 Commission, and did they seem interested at all in the explosions that you talked about coming from the basement?
When I spoke to the man behind the closed doors of the 9/11 Commission was at their office here in New York at the Federal Building, and
did they tell you why you had to speak behind closed doors?
No.
Were you surprised that you
were told? And actually, no, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised at all because they were actually looking for another guy that was the one that did the public addressing system on the building for people to go back into the offices. They say they lost this guy, and for 2 years they were looking for him. I said, you know, if you could have called me, I would have gave you the number. Well, very easy to find.
But they knew enough. They knew enough to have you behind closed doors. They knew enough.
Actually, the funny thing is when the 9/11 Commission came to New York for the hearings, I publicly said that, you know, you haven't heard the whole story. And as one of the members that went to Congress for having the commission created, I demanded the right to be listened to the testimony. And they got all nervous, and they said, yes, we're going to contact you. And within a day or two, they contacted me. And they did the appointment at their office with the investigators, tape recorders, and everything. The funny thing is that the focus was that I was the person that 3 months prior saw one of the hijackers in the building, and I identified one of the hijackers was Mohammad Al-Jahiri. And I was actually cleaning the bathrooms on the weekends because that was the overtime for me at the World Trade Center mezzanine level. And this guy comes walking into the bathroom area. The gate was down, and he asked me how many public bathrooms were in the building. And I started telling him, well, you have the one at the Sparrow restaurant, you have the one downstairs, and I pinpointed the bathrooms. And I said, well, I'm almost finished, you can use this one. And he said, no, thank you. He turns around and leaves. He has a very big accent, and I should know about accents because I have one. And the guy looked exactly like Ringo Starr. So he stayed in my, and I have a photographic memory. I must tell you that automatically I called my supervisor and I told him, and I told one of the Port Authority supervisors called Ed Raggio, and I said, Ed, this just happened to me. And he was the top guy for the Port Authority there. And he said, oh, don't worry, we always get these nut jobs around here. But the guy turned around and left the building.
And he looked like Ringo Starr.
I called the 9/11 when they had the Family Assistance Center on Pier 92 set up, I went to the FBI table and I said, listen, I need to talk to you, and this is what happened. And I told them all the information, and I even told them, listen, I even still have the radio in my pocket that I had at the World Trade Center, and it says Port Authority Police. This belonged to maybe one of the dead police officers, and I had the radio. You got to pick it up. Actually, I had the radio for 4 months in my house. Nobody picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that moment, I told them that, you know, this guy was there. So if he only, he said, well, that's the investigators. They were very interested in that, and they got very angry. Get angry to the towards, not towards me, but towards the FBI. I said, how can this information was never passed on? And now, remember, these are investigators for the 9/11 Commission. Now, they are actually doing the job, the dirty job, but they don't have the final say on what goes on the report or what has to be investigated. They're just gathering the information. And they said, wow, here we have proof of the only eyewitness proof that one of the hijackers was staking out the building inside. Number two, that they have an alternate plan to maybe put bombs inside. This is not coming from me. It's coming from them. Maybe put bombs inside the bathrooms to accelerate the building collapse. Not, again, not coming from me. And because it's easy, in the bathroom, the public bathrooms, after the 1993 bombing, the World Trade Center went to $250 million, upgrade of the whole systems and the whole area complex to actually make it more secure because of the bombing. $136 million were spent only on security.
Mm.
So the only area that you did not need an ID and you could come up from anywhere on the street were the public bathrooms. So you could go and plant a bomb, come under the stall, get out, close the door, and that's it, and leave. And you could put any bombs there very easily. So, you know, there was, I tell you this, Liz, because a lot of people say, well, how did they have the opportunity if it was bombs to go in there and plant them? I said, well, I give you an example. This is an example. Very easy.
Did anybody, any investigative person, the 9/11 Commission, the FBI, the police department, the fire department, did anybody have an extended conversation with you about the explosion in the basement?
Nobody. Nobody, nobody. And practically on all the commissions, hearings, I've been speaking out. And it's like, you know, deaf ears. But again, you know, it's surprisingly because it gets to the point that I say, okay, well, you know, it's like your song, beautiful song that you just played. And you say, you know, it's just, sometimes I don't know what I'm fighting for. But in reality, I know what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for the truth. And because, like Greg said before, I owe it to the memory of my friends. I lost 200 friends. And I need to be the voice for those people. And, you know, these people want me to shut up.
And, Greg, you're a reporter. How many people, how many stories have referenced Mr. Rodriguez's statement about the bomb or the explosion in the basement?
Well, here's the interesting thing, that the mainstream media, and we're talking about the New York Times, all the TV stations, all the major papers, and bar none, Chicago Tribune, you go right across the country, and there has been a blackout. Anytime Mr. Rodriguez has ever spoken over the years, even after the 9/11 Commission, the papers have not printed his name or that story or the corroborating evidence that there may be an explosion or the fact that the 9/11 Commission may have not even investigated this. Now, when you look and talk to some of these people, and I had a chance to talk to the people in NBC, had a chance to talk to the people at the New York Times.
And they all know me by name.
And I asked them why, and they give me an answer like, we do not comment on our news gathering. The reporters and even the head investigative reporter for NBC, or his, Dan Pasternak, is very evasive. They do not want to get at the truth. They don't want to tell me why they don't do this story. And I ask them basically, as a journalist, how can you ignore this?
But what?
How can you, as a journalist, wake up in the morning and ignore these facts. Now, when I started writing about Mr. Rodriguez and putting these stories in, I was amazed. I said, you know something? 4 years after the fact, nobody knows about this. The media's covering it up. The government's covering it up. And they're expecting everyone to believe that their story is true. Well, something's wrong. And this story proves it. And, I mean, there's so many other things that are inconsistent in 9/11, but Williams' story is the one that should wake up America, should wake up everybody and go, listen, there, we need answers.
But why do you suppose, Greg, that the government so there was a bomb in the basement of the building. What does that mean?
Well, if they were forthright about, hello?
Yes. Hello?
I think we lost him.
Did we lose him? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
But I could answer that question.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. If they actually corroborate that, just that part, it will bring the whole official story down to pieces, because then the whole theatricals that they put together will come practically dissolve into nothing. Because then the whole thing about the towers, the $30 million that they spent to do this investigation, the other $30 million for the NIST investigation of what the towers collapsed, they all come to practically nothing. And how they're gonna explain that to the American public? How they're gonna explain that to the families? And on top of that, we hated the family members and the survivors that we were politicized automatically.
Yes.
After 9/11, they went into two wars, and they start selling the story that 9/11 in the beginning was the cause for the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
It did not have to do anything. We knew, the family members knew right away, and we were being used, and we said no. And what we did, we put all the widows on different television programs to do the same. We learned the same techniques. They're going to use us, we're going to use them. We start putting the emotional part, because who's going to contest an emotional part of a widow or a mother that lost her son? So we put them on networks, and they have to change the story. Now it's weapons of mass destruction. But they wanted to do it about 9/11.
And I said no.
And
we have to take a quick break. I'm talking to Mr. William Rodriguez and Greg Seismansky, a reporter with the American Free Press and Arctic Beacon. Mr. Rodriguez is joining us from New York City, and Mr. Seismansky is joining us from L.A. I'm Liz Brown. You don't want to miss this. And if you want to pass this story on, please get on over to WhiteRoseSociety.org. You really need to pass this story on, folks. I'm Liz Brown, and this is The Wake-Up Call.
We'll return back with the best of The Wake-Up Call following these brief messages right here. Stick around. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown, who will be returning on Monday right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Help the victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920. And we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen? WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. Or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Sometimes it's so boring at home when I'm sick. I'm so lonely.
What do you do at home when you're sick?
Check out patchworks.org.
What's that?
Patchworks.org. P-A-T-C-H-W-O-R-X. I've made so many new friends there.
Patchworks is a support community on the web for kids ages 5 to 18 who have illnesses, medical challenges, or disabilities. There are games to play and a show and tell section for your artwork and stories.
There's also a bulletin board, fun contests, and daily chat rooms.
Yeah, my mom checked it out when she signed me up. She knows I'm always safe when I'm chatting because an adult is always moderating.
Soon you will be able to visit Patchworks in Spanish. So check out Patchworks, PATCHWORX.org.
Don't forget, it's free, fun, and on the web.
Join Irene J. Smith, who will be filling in for Liz Brown in about 10 minutes right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz will be back on Monday. But right now, it's the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, and my guest this morning, reporter with the American Free Press and Arctic Beacon, Greg Seismansky. Good morning, and welcome back, Greg.
Yes.
And Mr. William Rodriguez. Greg, you were just about to tell us why you thought the government, what the government would lose if we investigated these explosions at the basement of the North Tower on 9/11, and
well,
then we were cut off.
What it simply will do is open up a can of worms they don't want to even get into. And the reason they don't want to get into it is that their story basically is this, that the jet fuel brought down the towers, and that's the end of it. 19 Arab terrorists brought the whole defense system of America to its knees. Well, you know, the story, if you look into it, gets flimsier and flimsier and flimsier. But the one real key issue is that if you can pinpoint one area that's undisputable in defeating their story, then everything else will fall like a house of cards. And I think they realize that this is a pre-scripted 9/11. They had this script written prior to that, and Mr. Rodriguez, trying to fit in with the truth, doesn't fit into their script. Now, the one interesting thing about this is that, ask yourself this question. If they're telling the truth, why did FEMA haul away all the crime scene evidence before anybody could investigate it and ship it overseas? And that's another point that points to a possible, not a possible cover-up, but a cover-up of what really went on. You had Mr. Rodriguez's story and stories of countless other people who heard explosions below. You will find that it was impossible for that to occur from the airplane 90 floors above. Mr. Rodriguez talks about going up those flights of stairs, and if like the government contends, that this was jet fuel that seeped down into those elevators within seconds, he would have never been able to get up through those floors.
And he wasn't the only one going up.
No, there were many people even on those elevators. I mean, the story does not ring true one bit. And they know that if he tells this story, and if it is investigated properly, their story basically doesn't hold water.
Mr. Rodriguez, you filed you are the lead plaintiff in a RICO suit against George W. Bush, this administration, because of 9/11. Why are you a lead plaintiff? Why did you file this lawsuit, and why is this suit important? We have about four more minutes here.
Number one, because nobody else dared to do it. Number two, because the truth is not out. Number three, because they have proof that there's an illegal enrichment
by the president because of Halliburton and everybody else's connection with the families for the last 30 years. Attorney Phil Burke, who is actually representing me on this lawsuit, we went to court, and they sent a lawyer from the president's side to try to dismiss the case, and they couldn't because the facts were there. And they said that, you know, as a survivor, I didn't have the right to sue the president because I probably received money from the Federal Compensation Fund. So it was a buyout, as they didn't know that I never received any compensation fund from the government at all, and actually denied that that right because I knew it was a buyout. And so, you know, that's one, the people can actually read the whole lawsuit at 911forthetruth.com, where they can get the actual motions and the answer from the president's office, lawyers, actually, and they can draw their own conclusions. And also, I'm actually going to be on this Sunday in Los Angeles talking about this at the Met Theater. So people, if they want to hear the whole story, they can go over there. What we are trying to do, Liz, is actually talk to anybody that will listen. And I actually ask you a favor that if anybody wants to contact me, they can do it through you. They can actually go to your website and post any questions that they will have, because we will actually answer everybody. We actually want the people to know what happened. And we are trying to put together a national tour of what happened on 9/11. So people like universities, colleges, and churches will give this information to the people, to the American people, so they will know what was the experience all about. So I call up on everybody that is interested to actually try to contact us.
Is there one single elected official, Mr. Rodriguez, that is interested in your story?
Oh, many, 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 many. We cannot name them, but they are actually going against the status quo, and it's very difficult for them, because they're part of the machinery. And they say, we're going to run into these different walls. And they tell me exactly the walls that they're going to run into. And remember, the government, you have to go through the Senate, to the legislature, all the way down to the, all the way up to the president to actually get something approved. And they tell me all the hurdles and problems that they will go through. So they tell me, you know, the best way, me on the position of the politician, I cannot do anything.
Have you talked to Congressman John Conyers?
No.
I would talk to him. I would talk to him. And before before we go, we have 30 seconds here. Greg, can you please give people your website so that they can get to more of this information?
Yeah, you can read all these stories and continuing stories on my website, which is www.arcticbeacon.com. That's arcticbeacon.com. And you can read the ongoing stories of William Rodriguez and other stories regarding what I consider to be a cover-up of 9/11 in the highest proportions, and something that we as Americans need to get the truth. And Mr. Rodriguez is going on his tour, and hopefully that will be one way, because as Bob Kohler of the Tribune said, Tribune Media Online Services, a columnist, he said, the government isn't with us, the media isn't with us, it's only us.
There you go.
So,
I want to thank you both, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Here's the latest from ABC.
Falling has been a rebroadcast of the wake-up call. It's the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Stick around. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown, who will be back on Monday for the wake-up call. This is AM 920 WGNU.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that, the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how this
the truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Surreal is how one National Guardsman describes storm duty in New Orleans. Police are going door to door, still asking hurricane holdouts to clear out. This man says he's been paid to protect a friend's million-dollar home.
If they bundle me up and carry me off, there will be gunfire.
Let's get more from ABC's Bob Schmidt in New Orleans.
This could be the last day for New Orleans storm survivors to avoid forced evacuation. But police say they're finding more people who are ready to leave the city. Some are said to be delusional, others dehydrated, living with little food and amid floating bodies. 37 pumps are draining New Orleans. More are coming online. Engineers fear that operation will be hampered if the pumps become clogged with corpses.
ABC's Bob Schmidt in New Orleans. In Washington,
Thursday's $10.5 billion emergency package has been drained. And I mean totally drained.
Senate leader Bill Frist, Congress passed and President Bush signed another aid bill, almost $52 billion. FEMA's been under fire for its handling of the disaster. ABC's Ann Compton has more on the man at the top of the agency.
Liz, with several in Congress demanding his resignation, Michael Brown is now facing a Time magazine story that he padded his resume. The magazine dug up discrepancies on his official White House biography and an online legal page claiming that Brown was a professor, an assistant city manager, and other positions that just don't check out. Now, FEMA says Brown disputes the story. Liz?
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. The White House is dismissing suggestions President Bush named a hurricane czar to oversee the recovery. And a new worry in the storm zone, mounds of trash and splintered trees piled high, drying in scorching heat. They may be in danger of catching fire. This is ABC News.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
Experience the acclaimed Bose Wave Music System. It's elegantly small with a depth and clarity of sound that brings new life to music. David Novak, the gadget guy, says it can easily replace whatever component system you currently have. A small remote controls all functions, including FM, AM radio, and slot-loaded CD player. Call 1-800-611-1617 for a 30-day risk-free trial. Order now and shipping is free. Ask about convenient monthly payments. The Bose Wave Music System. 1-800-611-1617.
On strike in Iraq, the British security firm that guards the Baghdad airport. ABC's John Berman says it's a pay dispute.
Airport security is something of a matter of pride for the Iraqi people. The Iraqi government says it is ready to step in and guard the airport itself. It says it doesn't need this British security firm to do the job, but it may just be a negotiating ploy to lower global security's price.
Keeping an eye on Ophelia, the 15th named storm of the season, ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman is north of Daytona Beach, Florida.
Liz, overnight, Ophelia was a hurricane, but this morning it was downgraded back to a tropical storm, winds of 65 miles an hour. The good news is it's right now heading out to sea, but because it is moving so slowly, forecasters warn it has to be watched carefully. It could double back and head towards land sometime in the next few days. Liz.
Halfway through the hurricane season, forecasters say they may run out of names. If so, they'd have to do something they've never done before. Turn to the Greek alphabet. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, an Alton teenager faces charges of first-degree murder and concealment of a homicidal death in connection with the death of 59-year-old James Holman, also of Alton. Police say the investigation revealed that Holman was beaten to death over $30 that he owed 19-year-old James Woody for crack cocaine. The Madison County Sheriff's Office received a tip that led to Woody's arrest approximately 3 weeks ago. Holman's body was found in a drainage spillway in the 1100 block of Rock Springs Drive in Alton on July 3rd. American Red Cross volunteers are preparing to help hundreds or even thousands of survivors of Hurricane Katrina in St. Louis. Stephen Hall of the St. Louis Area Chapter of the Red Cross says the chapter has already helped nearly 1,500 people who evacuated to St. Louis on their own.
They've come to St. Louis for a specific reason, because they have family and friends here, someone to stay with. But they still need that emergency assistance with food, clothing, support in getting those medical prescriptions refilled. Maybe they need eyeglasses, contact lenses.
Red Cross volunteers will register displaced citizens, distribute food, and manage the dormitories at the shelter set up in a hangar at Lambert Airport. About 500 survivors are expected to arrive at the shelter on Monday. Missouri parents could soon be able to sue anyone who helps their minor daughter obtain an abortion without their consent. The bill on teen abortions, which yesterday passed the Missouri Senate, states that parents can sue anyone who helps a minor to cross state lines to obtain an abortion. Another provision in the bill requires any doctor performing an abortion in Missouri to have clinical privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of where the abortion procedure takes place. The bill is advancing to the House for similar consideration. University of Missouri-St. Louis Chancellor Thomas George is crediting a $3.2 million increase in student scholarships to the 3% rise in enrollment this fall. In his annual State of the University address, George yesterday discussed the economic development that's expected to result from the relocation of the corporate headquarters of Express Scripts to the UMSL campus. George also noted that 71 students have enrolled at UMSL since the institution waived tuition and fees for students from colleges that were closed due to Hurricane Katrina. Finally this hour, the Rams travel to San Francisco this weekend to open the regular season against the rival 49ers. Mike Martz's squad is coming off a 500 finish last season, but they became the NFL's first 8-8 team to win a playoff game when they went on the road and beat Seattle in the wild card battle. St. Louis is 58-51-2 all-time against San Francisco and is 9-2 against the Niners under Mike Martz. Game time Sunday is at 3:15. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the American Red Cross. Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 70 west of the Edward Jones Dome. Only the right lane is open due to a construction. Police are now crews are now picking up the construction zone, but traffic is jammed through the depressed section. Eastbound 44 at Antire, there's an accident reported. Westbound 44 at 109, there's an accident reported with injuries. Westbound 44 at Bowles, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway, there's construction going on. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around that area. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia, no problems to report this hour. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, look for slow traffic already. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, look for very heavy volume there. Construction on westbound 70 west of the dome has caused northbound 55 between 44 and Poplar Street Bridge to be stop and go. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for a very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for a heavy volume as well. Westbound 5570 from the exchange onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 between Bow Avenue and the 5570 merge. Look for no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to road work on westbound 70 that's causing some delays onto the Martin Luther King Bridge. Northbound Route 3 onto the ramp of Popworth Street Bridge is slow this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high in the mid-90s this evening. Mostly clear with a low around 70 for Saturday. Mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Saturday evening mostly clear with a low around 70. And Sunday mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently in the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of the Wake Up Call with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown, who will be returning on Monday. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Here are the first five inductees to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1936. What team was originally the St. Louis Browns? Who was the last player to win the Triple Crown? If you can answer these questions, you could win a trip to the 2005 Major League Baseball World Series. Just visit www.ala.org/baseball by September 9th to find out how you can play Join the Major Leagues at your library. The game is open to baseball fans of all ages and brought to you by the American Library Association, Major League Baseball, and the Major League Baseball Players Association.
This is the Sun. This is the high-energy ultraviolet rays the sun sends to Earth every single day. This is the retina in your eyes being damaged by those high-energy rays. This is UV-rated sunglasses protecting your eyes from those rays. And this is how absolutely cool you look in those sunglasses.
And this is a message about safety from the American Optometric Association.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. Playgrounds are supposed to be purely fun and games, but physicians treat about 500,000 playground injuries a year, including some badly broken bones. That's why orthopedic surgeons encourage safe playground play. Here are some tips to help keep children safe on the playground. First, supervising your kids is the most important thing you can do to prevent injury. Avoid playgrounds that have concrete, asphalt, hard-packed dirt, or even grass. Wood chips, sand, or rubberized surfaces are safer. Steer children to age-appropriate playground equipment. Don't let kids get in the way of other kids on slides, swings, or in other exit areas. Look for debris on the playground and inspect equipment for missing, loose, or damaged pieces, sharp edges or points, splintered wood, rusted metal, or loose guardrails, and report any dangers you find. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed for the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and peace here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
All right. What's going on? So much going on. If you really focus in, your mind would just go in a tailspin. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Ooh, I guess we're on overload. Those who are been looking at and hearing about and seeing and doing and trying to do what we could to aid and assist hurricane victims. We have a truck at 5415 Page, just two blocks west of Union, right at Arlington and Page, right on the side of Emerson School. When I was by there for the second time yesterday, the truck is filling up, but we need to have it completely filled with items that our sisters and brothers in rural areas of the South through Mississippi, Louisiana, things that they can use, you know, non-perishable items, food, clothing, personal hygiene items, bleach, peroxide, aspirins, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, soap, lotion. And I want to really send a shout out to a friend of mine's family who was so gracious when I kind of called around and told people that we had this truck here and everybody is contributing. You know, as my neighborhood grandmother, Miss Grant, says, you know, I just put some money here, put some things there. We're just trying to spread the resources that we have to aid and assist. But the Thompson family, Nina Thompson's family. I mean, they put together some packets of lotion, soap, toothpaste, deodorant. I mean, you don't have to be, as I told her, just take some Ziplocs, you know, and put all the stuff in there, and shampoo. And we just thank everybody for doing whatever it is you can do. You know, just get in where you fit in. Yesterday, we had Reverend Morris from Lame Tabernacle Assembly Church and Jamila Nasheed here talking about rapid assistance and provide and the things that they're doing. And they have already sent resources down twice to areas in the South, and they will be leaving today, going to Baton Rouge to do some more assistance and to bring some people back. And so again, this is going to be a long haul situation. It's not going to be a short run. We're going to be asked to sacrifice and to give for some time to come. It's not a one-time thing. Those of you who have opened up your homes, and many of us have, to the hurricane victims, you know, it's like a one man interviewed on television said, you know, don't think you're just letting somebody sleep over for the night. You may have to assist them for upwards of 3 to 6 months. And so let us just be thankful for what we have and feel blessed that we're in a position to even be a blessing to someone else. Again, our contact numbers are 4504-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I certainly want, again, to ask you to send your prayers up for our dear sister, Marva Miller. She underwent surgery yesterday. As you know, she was involved in an automobile accident Monday, and she had a broken pelvic bone and a fractured hip. They did surgery yesterday. It's my understanding the surgery is successful. I'm hoping to see her today when I leave the studio. But, you know, this young sister has done so much for our community, particularly with respect to children and youth. She works with the Division of Youth Services. Also, she has her own company that she often assists parents in accessing services for their children in the public school system. So again, Marva, we love you, and she just asked that you just lift her in prayer. She just, each time that I've spoken with her, she said, just asked everyone to just keep me lifted in prayer. And so we certainly will. Again, she's at St. Louis University Hospital. She's in room 607. You know, give her a call. You know, after surgery, a lot of people like to go see individuals, and if you go by, but don't stay too long, because she needs to get her rest. She's got a long healing process. But again, we love you, Marva. Hang in there. Well, it looks that like the facility out at the airport meets the approval of Governor Blunt, who was out there on yesterday. He toured the facility. It looks like the Vice President Cheney will be in the hurricane savaged area today, and we will continue to move on and live on and do what we do. I'm going to go to the phone lines at this time. Good morning.
Yes, soldier woman. One of the bystanders told Cheney what he said to Senator Leahy, go blank yourself. And the polls coming out are atrocious. By 34 to 59%, the public says Bush has not handled this crisis in an appropriate manner. His approval is 42 against. We just had Cheney saying they won't need to raise one penny in taxes. These deficits, and they're unavoidable now, are going to be beyond belief. And my friend Irene, I just want to say to you, that black man that saw his wife slip from his hand and slide to her death, you know, that'll haunt me the rest of my life, although I've known tragedy too. And by the way, the government has sent 25,000 body bags down there. Those 30 elderly found dead in a nursing home, a man had called them offering 2 buses to get those people out of there, and they were declined. Now they're saying that this head of FEMA lied about his background. So I'll just put it this way, Alderwoman. Bush is handling this crisis the way Herbert Hoover handled the Great Depression. Thank you very much, Alderwoman. Have a real nice weekend.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I believe another appropriation packet has moved through the House, I believe, or has passed the Senate and is headed over. They indicated that the funds that were appropriated have already been exhausted. It's going to take a lot of money to go forward after the hurricane, and it's going to have an effect. I mean, we're going to have to all tighten our belts, so to speak. It's interesting to see what is going to happen with the cost of gas this winter, and it's going to have certainly going to have an effect on the economy. Well, again, we have a 40-foot truck at 5415 Page, right at Arlington. That's 2 blocks west of Union. And we're hopeful that that truck will be filled today. It was getting there yesterday, but we're hopeful that it will be filled and that we'll be headed back to southern areas of more rural areas of Mississippi and Louisiana that have been impacted by the hurricane and has not gotten a lot of assistance. And I just want to say a special thanks to all of you in our listening audience who have given of your resources, of your time, of your prayers to the hurricane victims. So much has been done. I talked with a young woman yesterday who didn't. She said, I don't have anything to give. You know, I don't have any money. I don't have anything. And so I said, well, just give your time. I said, there are various relief efforts going on. People need volunteers. They need people to help stock, help sort. You know, just give of your time. And seemingly that makes people feel better when they can do something. You know, I've seen so many people saying, I just had to do something. I just had to get down. I just had to help. So, you know, just get in where you fit in and aid and assist our sisters and brothers. Again, there is a 40-foot truck right there on Page, 5415 Page, on the side of Emerson School. That's right at Page in Arlington. That's 2 blocks west of Union Boulevard. Sisters and brothers, just fill it up so it can get on its way back. You know, we talk about response and we talk about and we criticize the federal government's response to the hurricane victims. Well, let's us respond quickly to this situation, rapidly. And just as Reverend Morris and Jamila Nasheed talked about yesterday, we need rapid response, rapid assistance and providing to our sisters and brothers in the hurricane region. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We are hopeful. We had planned today to have a discussion about eminent domain. we have not been able to get all sides together regarding this issue. However, we are still hopeful that in the 8 o'clock hour that we will have an update on what went on yesterday in Jefferson City relative to this issue. You know, this is an issue that has struck the attention of a lot of people and potentially could impact any of us. We are going to sit back and see, you know, what the impact of it will be with respect to New Orleans and other areas. You know, we had a brief discussion yesterday about cleanup and about building up and discussions about whether or not New Orleans should be rebuilt, and it's at least in the form in which it previously has had existed. Again, we're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith. I'll be back with you after the news, after the break.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We're looking at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 70 west of Edwards Jones Dome, OA. The right lane is getting through due to construction. Crews are now picking up the construction zone, and traffic is jammed all the way through the press section. Westbound 44 between Bowles and 141. Look for an accident. The right lane is blocked and jams all the way at Bowles. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. There's construction there. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around a construction zone. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Holly Hills. No problems to report. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Lindbergh. Look for slow volume this hour. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44. You've got slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, a heavy volume this hour. Northbound 55 between 44 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to construction on westbound 70 west of the Dome. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for heavy traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. You've got heavy volume there as well. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 at the Exchange and the PSB. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 64 between Bow Avenue and the 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way into Lafayette's Landing. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to road work on the westbound 70. And Illinois Route 3 northbound onto the ramp of Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow go there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, or even the heavy stuff, you can rely on reliable shipping. It's relaxed. It's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72 degrees. Stay tuned for more of the Wake Up Call with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown. Liz will be back on Monday. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Your children can take part in kids' gym activities at the YWCA Carondelet Branch, 4510 South Kings Highway, on Friday, September 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. Children ages 3 to 12 can enjoy supervised gymnastics play. Parents may leave or use the YWCA facility. Cost is $6 for members, $7 for non-members. Advance registration is strongly recommended. For more information, call 314-832-2000 or email carondelet@ywcastlewis.org. Something for kids from WGNU.
Stay there. Stay there. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Stay there, stay there. Come on, come on. This is the voice of the Elder Mitchell Thornton inviting you to join me with the all-request Sweet Sounds of Music.
Now you can hear Elder Mitchell Thornton and the all-request Sweet Sounds of Music at a new time on Saturday mornings from 7:30 to 8 here on AM 920 WGNU Radio Free St. Louis.
Experience the gravity-defying feats and thrilling performance of the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. Featuring spectacular costuming, beautiful production, and dramatic interpretation of classic Chinese dance and physical art. Discover the beauty of China's national treasure, the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. Call 417-336-8888. That's 417-336-8888.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Congratulations. You've found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Keep telling my age. This is the morning wake-up call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or we can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We're going to go right to the phone lines and talk to Otis. Good morning.
Hi, Miss Smith, this is Otis Woodard. And the reason I was calling today is, before I tell you what I was calling about, I want to tell you it's me and my wife's 14th anniversary. We're kind of proud of that.
All right, congratulations.
Yes, but what I wanted to say is, you know what I do. I give food and stuff over here in North St. Louis. And I'm looking at these big trailer loads of food being collected. And it's just kind of amazing to me, I think. Don't we already have homeless people in St. Louis and always, and don't we have hundreds of children who are going to bed already in St. Louis without having a real stable place to live? And don't we have thousands of people who are priced out of energy and don't have no lights on the house? I know several live around me in Hyde Park who don't have no lights or electricity, houses where 12 people are sleeping in a basement and most of them are children. And you know, and I'm looking at this big effort, you know, that, you know, because all of a sudden homelessness is in the headline, and we're bringing in these new people, and we're so happy to see them that we're going to give them what they need and a $2,000 credit card. And you know, they could, we could have already had thousands standing in line for that here in St. Louis before those folks come. But, you know, they're right now they're the flavor of the day. You know, they're in the headlines, and soon the headlines are going to be gone.
Exactly.
And folks like me and Larry Rice and all those folks who've been struggling with this crazy thing called homelessness and poverty for years, all of a sudden these people are going to be blended into that mix. And it won't be those trailers standing out there, and it won't be those people collecting money out there, you know, back in the, after December and all that. You know, right now they're kind of a, they're in the headlines, you know, like AIDS and like herpes was and like all other things. But the minute it disappears off the headlines, those people are going to be in serious trouble, because right now St. Louis has never been able to take care of his own. You
right.
know, we need to send every person who's coming to my table today for a can of soup to get that $2,000 check, to get all of those things collected. And, you know, I'm hoping that folks, while they're really busting their britches to, you know, to be a welcome mat to these folks, remember them next March. Remember
right.
them next June. So they're going to be blended in the Hyde Park and all our neighborhoods, and they're going to be struggling.
Brother,
with the same resources that hasn't worked for all these 33 years I've been doing this.
Brother Otis, if you've been listening, if you've had the opportunity to listen, we have been talking about exactly what you're saying.
Oh, I know you have. You have been.
And one of the things, and you underscored, and you know, I appreciate you calling in, because basically what this hurricane has done is put the face of poverty before the whole nation again.
Right.
Because as you said, you and Larry Rice and countless other food pantries,
right.
you know, Reverend Bessie Brown, she's
right.
down there trying to feed the homeless and provide services.
Right.
And, you know, we pass by, we make our contributions, we maybe come roll up our hands sometimes and volunteer. But there has not been a national agenda that has addressed the issue of homelessness, unemployment, and underemployment in this country
right.
for some time. But we may see this. And as I said, out of every tragedy, I believe that some good comes out of it. And one of the things I think that has been good is just people are pressed, you know, people say somebody in this country makes less than $10,000 a year or makes no money.
they're finding it out.
You know, or, you know, they make money, but they don't make enough money to afford shelter. You know,
no,
I had a
no.
brother that called me off the air yesterday, and he said, sister, he said, I work, you know, but I don't have shelter. I'm basically going to be homeless. And there are a number of individuals who work jobs but don't make enough money
that's right.
to have shelter or to provide for their family. They have to make a choice, either between paying the utility bills, and we haven't even addressed the issue of how the impact of high utility bills results in homelessness for people.
That's right. When they live in a Section 8 house, they lose. I have several women on my list right now who are going to lose their Section 8 house because their gas or their electric is off.
Exactly.
But one of the stipulations is that you got to keep your electric on. So they're gonna blend into these homeless folks real soon.
I was
71% hike in natural gas prices. That's what it's getting ready to be.
Mm.
That's gonna kill them.
Yes, it is. I mean, just think how this is going to impact those of us who are blessed enough to have a shelter. You
yeah.
know, many people are going to have to make a decision between, particularly the elderly and the fixed income, are going to have to make a decision between if they pay for medicine, if they pay for food, if they
right.
pay for shelter, or do they pay utility bills. So we're going to meet a tremendous challenge this winter as we are now, and we need to develop a policy to address this issue, and rapidly we need to do that.
Thank you, Irene.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day, and again, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. I'm going to celebrate today.
All right, that's good. Bye-bye. That's good. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. She'll be back in the seat on Monday. Sister Taka will be back with you. But if you want to talk to us in the meantime, you can contact us at 454-0400 or long distance at 1-877-920-WGNU. Or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Again, this weekend, they're having the Beckett Park Celebrates History. And, you know, that's the area around Page and Taylor up near Beckett Park. And they're having a festival this weekend that's located in the 18th Ward. And they want you to come out and let you know that they're on the rebound and they're a community organization that's concerned about their community. They would like to have more information on the development of their community. But come out and join them this Saturday at Beckett Park. From I think the festival is going to run from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. On the corner of Taylor Avenue and Page. And this year's theme is Together We Celebrate Past and Future Generations. So come out to Beckett Park this weekend from 1 to 8 p.m. to celebrate this area of the city that so many people are familiar with. I've listened to stories from my older cousins and when my great aunts were living, talking about this area. So they're going to have a celebration, and it's a celebration of history. We're going to take a brief pause, and we're going to be back with you very shortly. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be back with you shortly.
Technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Congratulations to the street department for the great snow removal job this month.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Right now. Something else. Something else. We're going to talk with a brother that's calling us from St. Joe, Missouri. Brother Graham, go right ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm missing St. Louis.
You're missing St. Louis?
Yes.
All right. Talk
to
us.
I've lived there for 12 years. I pastored Samaritan United Methodist Church.
Okay.
Worked with the Bosleys and everything. And I'm really enjoying your music this morning, too.
All righty.
And good to hear that you and Liz and everybody's doing good over there.
Yes, sir. Are you singing, brother, are you seeing any of the hurricane victims in St. Joe?
No, not yet. You know, we're getting a message here that they have not even come in over there. From, you know, I'm working through the United Methodist Church out of our office out of Columbia. I'm going to call this morning because I've talked to some preachers down in the area. I left Mississippi in 92 from the Seashore District, which take in the whole 90 miles of the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And that whole area, you know, was just devastated. They took the blunt of that hit. You know, they're not seeing any of the, you know, they're seeing local people doing stuff, but they're not seeing a lot of stuff from the government and things.
Actually, that's been the saving grace. I mean, the churches and the not-for-profit groups and just individuals just helping each other has been a tremendous help. And in fact, most of the evacuees that are in the St. Louis area came by their own means or others helping them independently. We are told, I think the last report is that on Monday, yesterday, the governor toured the facility out at the airport. And, of course, it was an opportunity for people to give accolades about what the city had done. And we certainly appreciate all that everyone is doing. But I want to see, you know, we want to see the people. And as a brother that just talked about Otis Woodard, you know, what are we going to do long term?
Right.
Because, you know, everybody is feeling, you know, very gracious and very giving at this time. But this is a long-time challenge, and we need to come up with a plan to address the needs of not just the most immediate homeless, but homelessness in this country.
Right. Well, Samaritan now, they have a food pantry over there. We fed over 700 people a month over there, right there on Washington in the old Gaslight Square area. You know, I talked to one of the ministers. They have in Biloxi, they have the VFW building in D'Iberville that is available for storm, you know, dropping off stuff, items. And the guy's name is Charles Moses, who is the pastor of St. Paul United Methodist Church in Biloxi. What is happening you know, it's my fear that a lot of these people are being stopped up north Mississippi, which, you know, all the way to Jackson, I know they had tree damage and, you know, some structure damage, but most of the people on the coast really lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father, we lived in Crystal Springs, which is 200 miles from the coast. They was out of utilities and, you know, services, but they didn't have a lot of structure damage and stuff, so they're doing good. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of people would stop instead of going on down where really there's a lot of devastation and
there's a 40-foot truck that will be headed to the more rural areas. And in fact, we've already had a brother, Pastor Morris, was on yesterday.
Yeah, I listened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And so we're hitting. They're trying to hit those areas that are small areas that, you know, of course they don't get much media attention,
right,
any if at all. But there have been contact through the churches and through other organizations and just individuals making contacts with people that they know could provide some assistance. And so, like I said, we have the churches and individual not-for-profit groups that are just getting involved and just moving rapidly. I mean, we had the organization on yesterday that they just formed, and they've already been down twice, and they'll be leaving, I think, with two buses today to go down and pick up some people and bring them up as well.
Well, we are working on this, and I met yesterday, the day before yesterday, with the group here in St. Joe, the Ministerial Alliance, and we are, you know, coming together to try to get everything ready to receive some evacuees if they come in. We don't know right now.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a job plant coming in, and so those persons who will want jobs can come in. Now, there are very few Afro-Americans in St. Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, we send a shout out, I mean, for brothers and sisters that perhaps that are looking for employment.
Right.
You know, it might be advice. Sometimes you have to go. You know, you have to kind of put your fishnet somewhere else. So maybe it might mean St. Joe. Brother, thank you so much.
Let me ask you this. Are you all on the, can we email, you know, messages in? Can we use this, I think it's Liz Revolution.
Yes, certainly. Yes, you can.
You all picking those up this morning also?
Well, they won't be. I don't know. She's on vacation, okay. So I don't know. She'll be back on Monday.
Right.
You know, and that's her personal business email, okay. You know, so you certainly can send them.
Well, we really appreciate it, and we'd like to just give everybody a shout-out, all the people there in St. Louis, and let them know that we've been here a year, but we still have St. Louis in our blood.
All right.
We really miss you all there.
Okay, and we thank you so much,
you.
Brother Graham, for calling in, and please give your family our regards.
I sure will.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Brother King on the car phone, talk to us.
How you doing?
I'm
first
fine.
First thing I want to say is that everybody who's been giving is doing a great job. And another thing I wanted to say, did you ever see the Titanic, the movie?
Yes, sir.
Did you see those people when they were locked downstairs, when they were trying to get the rich out first?
Yes.
Nobody ever noticed that movie, but that was something that I thought was a reflection of America. And what they've done is they've hid these poor people in Louisiana for so many years that nobody, well, I guess people knew that they were there, but nobody actually seen them. And I think this, like you said, this is a reflection of America, and that we need to do something about it. I like the way you were commentating about the that America is poor, they're poor here, and we need to take care of them all the time. But right now we have to take care of the victims of the hurricane, but I hope that people look forward to this. They are poor, and that's a very viable area down there. They got all those oil wells and things down there, all those casinos, yet a fourth of the population was poor. Don't you think that's something?
Hmm.
You know, and it's just a lot that people need to look at and try to reassess that America needs to help the less fortunate.
That's okay. True. Thank you for calling in.
All right.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Irene. And I'd just like to say, maybe I was thinking about that same thing the guy was talking about, how the homeless, you know, are here and we're trying to do this. But, you know, when you see, you're looking at something with your eyes, it does something to your heart. And then when the news take the homeless off the TV, then, you know, we don't see. So maybe we can start some kind of festival every year, like they have that festival of, what is it, the floats, what's that they have downtown every year.
But you're talking about the VP Fair?
Yeah, what's that festival they have, parade or something. Maybe we could start something like that after this stuff is settled down, to, you know, to help our own homeless. But we also have to have some people that stop coming on the radio. I'm talking to the older people. There's an older woman that comes on the radio hollering about she's 80 years old. She done worked two jobs all her life. And the whole idea was, yeah, she's worked. She had two jobs to work.
So you want to hold over until after the news, and so you can make your point, because we got to go to the news.
Oh, okay.
You want to do it?
Okay, thank you, Irene.
All right. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. We'll be back with you after the news. Stay tuned.
GNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Forced evacuations may be next in New Orleans. ABC's Bob Woodruff is there.
Police!
Police and National Guard troops have stepped up the evacuation of New Orleans, searching for holdouts, house to house, sometimes with guns drawn.
We will take all weapons.
Even in the wealthy neighborhoods where the floods never came, National Guard troops order people out.
This man's among those who say they want to stay put.
I have water here. I have food here. If I leave, I become a burden to somebody else. And I don't necessarily know that that's fair.
But police say they are finding more people ready to leave the city, some said to be delusional, others dehydrated, living on little food, and amid floating bodies. ABC's Alex Stone has more from New Orleans.
There's still quite a bit of confusion here over who has the authority to order a mandatory evacuation. The mayor says he has the authority, and he's telling all of the residents to get out now, or they'll be forced out by police SWAT teams. But the governor says the mayor doesn't have that authority, and she doesn't want anyone pulled out of their homes. Now she's telling the National Guard not to take part in the mandatory evacuation.
ABC's Alex Stone in New Orleans. Many evacuees wound up at storm shelters in Houston. Some are now getting cash relief. ABC's Donna Renee is there with more.
Saying they had a mandate from the American people to put some cash in survivors' pockets, the Red Cross handed out a total of $5 million worth of debit cards Thursday. People waited in line for hours in the blazing heat, and some stragglers will do it again today. The money gives evacuees some breathing room to buy personal items, find a pair of shoes that fit, or just get a haircut.
Illegal immigrants who survived the storm are steering clear of government officials, some sneaking into shelters at night, slipping out in the morning, praying they won't be noticed. Tens of thousands of illegal immigrants may live in the hardest hit areas. This is ABC News.
When Jessica's mom bought the newly designed Maytag Neptune, the largest capacity front load washer, Jessica was the first to notice.
My mom has a lot more free time these days. She used to make only a couple of my soccer games, but now she comes to every single one, even the away games, and for pizza afterward. My friends think she's pretty cool, but my boyfriend is still on the fence.
Is your mom gonna sit next to us during the whole movie?
Next month, my mom's chaperoning my senior prom. I can't wait.
The less laundry you have to do, the more living you can do. Thanks to the Maytag Neptune high-efficiency washer, which has the largest front-load capacity available, you can do more loads in less time. It even fits a king-size comforter and is tough on stains, yet protects your clothes, too. There's less laundry, more life with Maytag. Depend on us. Now get a $100 gift card when you buy a Maytag Neptune washer and dryer. Offer ends 10/16/05. See Maytag.com for details.
The soaring price of gas may be changing driving habits. The first hint is in a weekly government report. ABC's Richard Davies is gauging reaction.
American motorists bought 4% less gas last week than the week before, according to the U.S. Energy Department's tracking survey. This may be the first sign of a change in driving habits, but it could also be the result of shortages in some places. Long lines may have caused some people not to buy gas.
ABC's Richard Davies in New York. Girls who eat breakfast, especially cereal, are slimmer than those who skip the morning meal. A new study tracked 2,400 girls for more than 10 years, finding the fiber in cereal and the healthier foods that go with it, like milk and OJ, may be a factor. Researchers say nearly 1 in 3 adolescent girls in the U.S. is overweight. This study's author says breakfast may kickstart the metabolism and help to make reasonable choices at lunch because they're not starving. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brian-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a Pine Lawn police officer is on paid administrative leave after allegedly displaying a gun to a Walgreens drugstore guard and punching him. 59-year-old William Monroe faces a felony charge in connection with unlawful use of a weapon and a misdemeanor third-degree assault charge. Monroe was arrested Monday. The St. Louis Teachers and School-Related Personnel Union Local 420 is rallying support for funds to distribute to AFT members and staff who were impacted by Hurricane Katrina. The local group will distribute all contributions among the AFT Disaster Relief Fund, local Hurricane Katrina victims, and St. Louis Public Schools laid-off members of Local 420. Contributions are being collected at the Local 420 office on Hampton Avenue. The State Department of Natural Resources is giving the City of St. Peters the water quality certification needed for construction to begin on the Lakeside 370 Project levee. The St. Peters Board of Aldermen last night authorized the sale of $22.5 million in general obligation bonds for construction of the levee, in addition to the final agreement for construction of the levee pump stations. The City of St. Peters reports that in April 2000, more than 67% of St. Peters voters approved the bonds for the land purchase and levee construction of the Lakeside 370 Business Park. The DeSoto 73 School District is celebrating a major achievement. Dedication ceremonies are planned tomorrow for new and remodeled schools damaged by a 2003 tornado. Terry Noble, the superintendent of the DeSoto 73 School District, says their accomplishment should serve as a symbol of hope for the Hurricane Katrina victims.
And adversity in life can be an opportunity, and that was really the attitude we had from the very beginning, was we could make this an opportunity. And that was what the community did, and we pulled together what could have been a bad situation, and it was a blessing in disguise, and our facilities are much improved.
The district was in need of funding for improvements to the schools prior to the storm. The renovations to the junior high and high schools and two elementary schools were made possible by a $7.6 million bond issue approved by voters a few months after the devastating tornado. Finally this hour, if the speculation is correct, one of the greatest players in Blues history will announce his retirement this afternoon. A press conference is scheduled at Savas Center, where it is expected that All-Star defenseman Al MacInnis will make his departure official. The former Norris Trophy and Conn Smythe Trophy winner has not skated competitively since suffering an eye injury early in the 2003-2004 season. He played 10 years for the Blues, scoring 127 goals with 325 assists. In 23 NHL seasons, the 42-year-old was a seven-time All-Star, tallying 1,274 points with 340 goals and 934 assists. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a brief look at traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckerd's Apple Fest. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44, slow traffic in pockets as well. Westbound 270 from West Florissant on to from Bell Fountain to West Florissant. Look for a very heavy volume there. Westbound 70 in the cross section and Edward Jones home is easing after earlier construction. Northbound 55 between Gastonade and Poplar Street Bridge, stop and go to earlier construction as well. Eastbound 44 is slow at northbound 270 ramp. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for stop and go traffic due to your 8 a.m. commute. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB, look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split onto Laclede's Landing, it is stop and go, bumper to bumper. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto to the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckerd's Apple Fest. Apple Fest going on now at Eckerd's, so bring the whole family out for apple picking, tractor rides, music, and country fun. Eckerd's in Belleville, Grafton, and Millstadt. For more information, visit Eckerd's.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy today, a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Fields is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned. Liz Brown is on vacation until Monday. In her place, Irene J. Smith. It's the wake-up call, the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
My heart is filled with so much love, and I need someone I can call my own to fall in love. That's what everyone's dreaming of. I hold this feeling oh so strong. Life is too short to live alone without someone to call my own. I will care for you. You will care for me. Our love
That's our challenge. That is our challenge. And I'm not talking about just one-on-one. We've got to shower each other with love. And the opportunity to do so certainly exists here. Again, there is a 40-foot truck that is being filled for items going to our sisters and brothers who have been victims of the hurricane along the Gulfport, particularly in rural areas of Mississippi and Louisiana, individuals that have not received a lot of attention, but they have our attention. So, sisters and brothers, if you have items to contribute, please take your items there, non-perishable items, food, clothing, sanitary items. You know, they need everything, you know. They are children. They need toys. They need books. They need school supplies. Everything that we tend to take for granted, they need. So I just urge you to please go by and and fill that truck up. And the truck is located at 5415 Page. That's two blocks west of Union, right at Allings, and right on the side of Emerson School. We need you. I'm going to go back so we can finish our discussion with Sister Mary. Go right ahead.
Yes, as I was saying earlier, we need these older people, especially, now this is, especially this older white woman. Stop talking about how back in the day that she worked two jobs. This is what's taken from people
okay,
that are trying to help
expound
other
on it. Expound on it, because I'm not sure what you're talking about, and I'm sure
the
listening audience.
Well, the whole idea is she comes on the radio and she says, well, these people are not this, that, and the other. They're lazy and don't want to work. And that's not true. There's a lot of people out here that can't find jobs. And how she took care of herself and her family, and she's 80 years old now, and she worked two jobs. But, you know, when she was 80, before when she was younger, just think how black people couldn't get jobs during that time. If she worked two jobs, that was one job that a black person couldn't get. And if she had to work two jobs to make it, most of the black people couldn't even get a job. So, I mean, instead of looking at these people in this city, looking at this way, it's not like that. It's a lot of black people. You always have a few people in every group of people that are not going to do much. But you still, you don't sit back and try and keep trying to low-rate people and saying those people don't want to do this. We do want to work. And I just get sick and tired of her coming on the radio talking about how she made it and how she could do this and other people could do the same. Black people couldn't do the same back in the day as she could do. Being a white woman, she could do a whole lot more. She got a job that I wouldn't have been able to get or my mother wouldn't have been able to get. And one more thing I'd like to talk about is this Social Security, privatizing the Social Security. Okay, you want to privatize some parts, take some of the money. If people could understand, if they would teach people how to invest, then they wouldn't even have to deal with Social Security. When you're in schools, teach children about economics and how they can invest their money. I didn't know anything about it. They don't teach economics in school. They need to teach it from the beginning of
the
child
entering
the school until the end that they leave.
Do you really think that that's the solution? Because let me say this. When I was in school, I took econ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In high school, at Beaumont High School, Mr. Barris, who lives in the 8th Ward in South St. Louis, taught me economics, mm-hmm. okay? That in and of itself is not the issue. I mean, with the wages that people make, even who would have the money to
right.
invest?
But
those individuals
saying,
who are relying, those individuals who are relying on Social Security, and a lot of us are, a lot of people are, that are relying on Social Security are hardly in the position to invest. Because many of them are making it from paycheck to paycheck.
But what I'm saying is they're talking about even taking, okay, a portion of the money for people so that somebody could invest with them. But now, if they're going to do this anyway, people could look at it a little bit different.
Yeah, I see your point. It's like
if they understood the processes themselves, then they maybe could see it a little bit. Since they're going to do it, seems like they're going to do it anyway. But, you know, it would be a little bit better if the person had some input and knew what the processes were and how it was all working. That's what I wanted to say.
I think your point, that's good.
And then one more thing I want to say.
Come on, sister, I got to move on. The board is full.
Okay,
so
okay.
save it. I know, get it on, get it out as quick as you say.
Say, you know, the government, if people that are buying stuff to give, what about the people that have the stuff that we're buying it for? Are they lowering these prices so we can give to these people, so we can give more, buy more for our money? It seems like at least once or twice a year to help the homeless. They could lower the prices like they did, drop the taxes or something to give us some incentive to help us to remember, you know, to keep the homeless in mind. Lower
Good
those
point.
Prices so we can buy, so we can help the homeless people. I don't have a lot of money, but $20 I could take, and if I could take $20 and buy twice as much, that would help. If he's going to give, I'm going to give. Everybody's going to give, not just the one that's receiving like they're doing down there in Biloxi, hiking up the prices for houses and stuff. And black people buy from other people. Even if you're buying a house, buy from a black a realtor, not just all these white people making all the money. Thank you, Ms. Irene.
Okay. I think my sister got out everything that she wanted to say. And I really like what she was saying about once a year, twice a year, dropping the price of items to aid and assist the homeless. And then just come up, I mean, we have so much intellectual ability, talent, skills that we can bring to the table to address the issue of homelessness in our city. And I believe that one of the things that is going to come out of this hurricane devastation is that discussion. Because guess what? America could not run away from the eye of poverty. The picture of poverty was there. And poverty, the devastation of it, was shown. You know, not just what happened with the hurricane, but people are starting to talk about that again. And as Brother Woodard mentioned this morning, you know, and as Brother, I believe it was Kevin, called in and said, you know, people are homeless. We have a homeless problem here. We don't have a policy. We don't have a plan to deal with homelessness in this city. And we know individuals such as Otis Woodard and Reverend Rice and countless other churches and not-for-profits that work with the homeless are trying to address this issue. We know we have the big issue with respect to the Abrams federal building downtown, where federal legislation is available to say, you know, that these facilities should first be acquired by perhaps not-for-profits to be used for homelessness or something. And Reverend Rice pursued that. Okay, the ruling was not in his favor, is my understanding, that is still on appeal. But just imagine if that facility were up and was running and that facilities were being provided on-site to try to get people counseling, to try to get them employment training, things of that nature. I also want to comment on one other thing the sister brought up. Sister was talking about, obviously, I guess, a caller that calls in and say, you know, I did it my way. I pulled myself up by some bootstraps that somebody else supplied her with. And she talked about she worked two jobs. Well, she didn't have a monopoly on working two jobs. There were many people that worked two jobs, including my mother, okay, two and a half jobs when I was in law school, and tried to make it as best that they could, and were still just barely making it with two full-time jobs. My mom worked two and a half full-time jobs, and my mother happens to be a black woman. Okay, so no one has a monopoly. There were people that did all kinds of things, and people that couldn't find jobs, they made opportunities for themselves, both black and white. And particularly, of course, I was exposed to black folks. I saw the creativity of surviving that black folks did. You know, my grandmother was a day worker. Okay, she scrubbed floors. You know, she took care of other folks' children, including her own, okay? And that there were times in my mother's life that my mother did day work, okay, in addition to trying to make ends meet. You know, people did what they had to do to survive, and people wanted to work. People wanted to do for themselves. And I believe the majority of people still do now want to do. And we have parents right to this day that are working two jobs just to make ends meet, just to be able to stay in some rundown housing that people are charging exorbitant rents for that are not even they're substandard housing. People are paying $500, $600 a month rent for. We need to address that issue. We need to deal with the availability of all of this LRA housing to put together work programs. And I want to say that I know one brother, Vern Henderson. I mean, this brother has been pushing and pushing, and he has a blueprint of how we could rebuild and train our young people at the same time. So we need to come to the table and collaborate around this and make something good out of what is bad. I'm going to go to the phone line. So much for me and my venting. Let's get us a male caller in here. Good morning.
Good morning, sister. How you doing?
I'm all right.
I had to get you before your last morning. I will miss you next week. Couple of things. I was wondering if the listeners really knew that Fidel Castro offered 1,100 doctors.
1,200.
Yeah. Well, I got that on Democracy Now, but the, you know, the local report had been 1,100. Mm. Yeah, 1,200.
And tons of medical supplies.
Oh, yeah, the backpacks, the hurricane backpacks.
They were ready. They showed them ready.
Yep. And
lined up in their white jackets.
They were rebuffed. These people are experts. They are considered by the UN to be the foremost nation in handling hurricane and disaster situations such as this. The king and queen of Spain gave Cuba, financed Cuba to open a training hospital for this same particular need, so that doctors from all over the country could be trained, I mean all over the world, and the only requirement was that they work in their own homeland for 3 years after graduation in order to assist, because Cuba gets hurricanes all the time.
So the reports that have gone out that our government was not refusing help
is a lie. It is just a lie. They refused the oil from President Chavez in Venezuela. They had to accept the money because the donations that country made were directed through the Red Cross. So the money was accepted. But even in light of such a catastrophe, this administration still plays politics while people really
dying.
Are flowing, literally
dying.
Flowing in watery graves. This administration is one that we're going to have to really watch. These people do not care. We have a president that is detached from reality as any human being can possibly be. And there is a book out about that, about Dear George. He's been suffering from anxiety his entire life, and things that were done to him, believe it or not, by Barbara and George Sr., are the reason why this man is really unbalanced. The book is called Bush on the Couch, written by Justin Frank, and it explains to you in detail. I don't think a lot of people know when our dear president was 10 years old, he had a thing with frogs and firecrackers. Oh, yeah, he used to blow up frogs with firecrackers. When he was seven and a half, his youngest sister died. Not only was there no funeral, the next day the family went out and played golf. The very next day. When Barbara's mother died, she didn't attend her mother's funeral. Dad was always gone, corrupting as much of the world as he possibly could as head of the CIA and things like that. But this
Can I ask you something, brother?
Mm-hmm.
Have you, and I just want to know if this is just me, but each time that I have seen the president talk about any devastation, any catastrophe, it's almost like this smirkish look on him.
Oh, look what he said down in Louisiana to Trent Lott. Trent, it'll be good when we get your house. I'm really going to miss sitting on the porch with you. We'll really have to get your house rebuilt as soon as possible. And then turned to Michael Brown and told him what a good job he was doing. He has no concept of reality. And any time he is in a situation that is not scripted to fit him, he fidgets, he drops his head, his speech stutters. This man is ill-prepared to lead anything, let alone the so-called greatest nation in the world. And
so what does that say about...
About the people who support him.
Yeah, what does that say about us as a country? Brother, I'm going to try to get another call in before the break.
Take care. Be glad when you come back, sister.
Okay, take care, brother.
All right.
All right, let's get a sister in here. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Smith.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm enjoying you. You have such a lovely voice. And this is my first time to call. I'm a senior, but I was watching the television on last evening, and there was a young lady that came in from New Orleans, and she landed over in Illinois and with her daughter, and she didn't know where she was going, and they told her after she got on the flight where she would land, and she cried, and she said she had no people there. Then there was a man that was there. He left walking. He was going to hitchhike back because they thought they were going to Texas, and they end up in Illinois. And then there was a black family on that went to Utah, and they wanted to get back, and they were kind of rude to those people after they had got them where they were. They said, well, you can go back on your own, and we've gotten you here, and you can't go in those dorms unless you have an armband or something on. And they talked to them very, very ugly. Could something be done about that? And I appreciate your comment, and I love you very much, and I'm going to miss you.
All right, thank you.
Very, very ugly.
Oh, there have been so many instances of people being misdirected. It's almost trauma on top of trauma. You know, we always think, you know, what can we do? Can something be done? I'm sure things can be done. But right now, I would really just like to see those people get where they have some loved ones, or at least some people who have open arms for them. And on that note, I would like to say, although I do not know the names, but I learned of it yesterday, that some of our students from St. Louis who are attending school at Xavier University, and I believe it was three young women, one of them went back or something to the ATM machine. To make a long story short, they ended up drowning, and their bodies were discovered a few days ago. So I don't even know the family member's name. I believe that they're related to Sharon Williams, who's related to Sandra Williams's Wilson's daughter. I just want to send out my condolences to the family because that's so devastating. You know, you send your babies off to school. You know, I know what that was like. My younger sister, Venus, who now teaches at Cardinal Ritter, attended and graduated from Xavier University. In fact, that's where she met my brother-in-law. And I can remember the first time there was a hurricane there when she was in school, and how we were very concerned. So just lift all of these families up in prayer who have lost their loved ones. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. I'll be back with you. I see you, Prince Carter. I'm going to get back with you first thing after the break.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Commerce Banks. Southbound 170 at Ladue, there's a spilled load. The right lane is blocked. Traffic backs up at Midland. Northbound 55 at Union, there's a report of an overturned vehicle. Two right lanes are blocked. Traffic jams at Rivas Barracks. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, there's road construction. The right lane is closed, and traffic crews are in their final stages of the bridge work. All scheduled lanes are going to reopen on Saturday. There are no delays through the construction zone at this hour. Eastbound 40 at 270 in Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and West Florissant, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 slows on the ramp to northbound 270. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for very heavy volume. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB, it is stop and go this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, look for that traffic to be easing. And northbound Route 3 at Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow volume going on there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Commerce Banks. Does your small business need money to expand or add equipment? The goal at Commerce Banks is 24-hour turnaround on all completed applications. Commerce Bank, member FDIC. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy skies, high in the mid-90s this evening. Mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well. Sunny skies, a little hazy out there. Stay tuned. More of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown. Liz will be back on Monday. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Stay there. Stay there. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Stay there, stay there. Come on, come on. This is the voice of the Elder Mitchell Thornton inviting you to join me with the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music.
Now you can hear Elder Mitchell Thornton and the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music at a new time on Saturday mornings from 7:30 to 8 here on AM 920 WGNU Radio Free St. Louis.
Right now the sun is shining, the people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. Right now the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Help the victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700. Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Beat of my heart, there's a beat for you.
Just a baby when that song was out, with every beat of my heart, Gladys Knight and the Pips. Prince called a long distance. Talk to us.
Good morning, Ms. Smith. Thank you for taking my call. A couple of things very quickly. One, I'm wondering, has the mayor of New Orleans been silenced? I haven't heard much from him. I've been seeing a lot of press conferences, but he hasn't been speaking since the radio interview.
Yes, he has. He's been speaking. Of course, now the governor, and I find this quite interesting, you know, that this same governor who said her first response was shoot to kill, now she's saying that the mayor doesn't have the authority to order an evacuation of the city. Just going through this wave of who's in authority, who's who. The bureaucracy is something else. But yes, I have heard him speak several times.
I haven't been able to hear any of his.
But I'm sure he's been overshadowed at this time. But he has made comments since his his comments. But evidently, the brother brought some points home because folks got to step in.
Exactly. You know, I am one that firmly believes that one innocent person incarcerated is one too many. And having said that, I'm hoping and praying that, because I know that there are quite a few jailhouses and what have you in that area. I haven't heard anything about the conditions and the treatment of the folks that are incarcerated in that area.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that many are incarcerated because they relocated them. I saw some footage of some relocation, but to be honest, brother, you know as well as I do, the focus is not going to be on folks who are incarcerated at this time.
Yeah, but, you know, nonetheless, those are human beings.
Your point is very well taken. You know, I know that as I sit at my table writing to young brothers who are incarcerated and sending my meager funds for their books. I know what you're saying. Your point is very well taken, but I'm just saying realistically, that's not going to be a topic of discussion until, you know, the press feels like they ran out of stories or the country is on overload. Then maybe we'll hear a story about what happened to the prisoners.
Helene, is it possible that you could direct me? I'm trying to find a place on the internet where you can get the votes of these folks in the house. I'm curious to know the point of views from the 11 people that voted against that $50 plus million.
You can just go to the website for the U.S. Congress. Just
U.S.
put
Congress.
That. Mm-hmm.
You know, the
mm-hmm.
only justification, and it's not so much as a justification, is I personally would not trust FEMA with that kind of money without some strong accountability.
But it's not going to be money that's going to just go to FEMA. It's interesting how, you know, we already had, say for an example, it's interesting on how we bill, how that money will be billed out. That would be the interesting factor because FEMA won't control all of that money.
Yeah, but they were saying a very large portion of it will go directly to FEMA.
Go actually track the breakdown of the money and where the money goes. FEMA will get a large portion of the money, but go through the breakdown. A lot of other places get money that you wouldn't be expecting that they would get money.
Well, I just hope that somewhere along the line, some elected official somewhere will do a strict audit on every dime of that money and make sure that it's allocated to the appropriate places.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, dear. Have a good one. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Irene. Yeah, it's going to be sad to see you go. I really enjoy your show.
I'm not going.
Well, off the air. Well, they're not going to hear you for a while.
I'm not going to go. Not yet. I don't know when I'm going.
But
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I think you and Liz make a good combination there. So that's great. I just wanted to quote one thing. I do believe his name is Sir Conan Doyle, the guy who wrote Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes.
He stated that once you have eliminated the impossible, whatever's left, no matter how improbable, must be the truth.
Mm.
So if you take that and apply that to what happened with this hurricane, you cannot deny it. And many of these people who are speaking as though nothing will ever happen to them, I can pretty much guarantee you
that it will.
That it will.
Mm.
Hey. Until the next time we get to hear from you.
All right.
Take care.
All right, brother. Thank you. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
How are you, Sister Irene?
I am here with you. Right. Talk to us.
I was going to say the other day, you remember I said I was going to break down what culture was. You asked me what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to first say what culture is not.
Okay.
Number one, black people who walk around in America with white people's names, that shows they have no culture of their own. Who speak the white man's language, another thing that they've been forced to do, shows that they should be seeking to find that there's something wrong even with that. Eating the type of menu that these people eat here is deadly. You can see the hospitals overfilled. So what good would it do to go back to that even? You cannot kindle tomorrow's flame out of yesterday's ashes. When a kingdom is going down, it's going down. No matter how you hope it'll remain, it's still going down because the time of that judgment has come for it. Now, black people don't have a culture. They're like a shadow that follow another man's culture. Therefore, there's no respect. They wonder why people come here and are granted so much more privilege than they are when they've been here for 200 and some years. So they wonder why these people, the reason why is they ignore their shadow on other people. And as long as you shadow with his religion, his politics, his eating habits, his enjoyment, his everything that he has is against you, and you think it's going to work. Most black people right now have reached a condition where they're spotlight grabbers. The truth has been turned into commercialism. Just anybody can get up and speak it, as long as they say black, and beat the people out of everything they got. And I'm speaking for Muslims and Christians and all. The leaders we've had have beat us. They've taken your money. Here's a march. How come it can't be satellitized? Why do people have to come so money can be gathered that you'll never see no result in it? I'm speaking the naked truth now. If you look at the situation here, it's been going on from slavery up. You still aren't free. You're mental slaves. And the Bible, Holy Quran, all style you as deaf, dumb, and blind, are dead. Because you don't exist as a people. You're shadow on other people. Now, your culture is this. First, any man is respected for having a government that he can say he his people are the heads of. When you run around in another man's government, these people are wise. They've taken you and put you on the spot as far as being mayor, as far as being chief of police, chief of the fire department. You still ain't got no status. They run you. That's just to pacify you, to make you think you got people that can do nothing. Wait till the odds are down and see what they do. They're the voice of authority behind the throne. And once black people wake up and realize this, and realize no matter how much freedom you got, if you don't have no help and no real education, no understanding of yourself, not his education, but that something belongs to you. That's what culture means, and I'm going to leave it with this. Culture simply means this. Singing and dancing aren't culture, and they add very little to it. Mining, astronomy, agriculture, these are the first forms of culture. And what you contribute to the earth, not what somebody else contributes. You'll always live in the shadow of another people as long as you do that. Now, I may be doubted, but it doesn't matter. Watch what happens. It's not going to be no win for black people as long as they follow the path and pattern of white people. Instead of taking the good out of ruling, they take the worst part of it so they can go back to the bars, back to the churches, and yap, yap, yap. But those days are really over, Sister Irene. I'll explain it later here.
All right. Take
Peace
care, brother.
With you.
Peace be with you. I'll see you soon, Lord, tomorrow.
Those days are really over.
This has been the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We're at a break. We're going to pause for the calls, but we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy,
boy, boy,
oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, that's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. Oh, so listen to me, get up off your knees, cause only the strong survive. That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go around with your head on.
What do you WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st, and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
It's new, it's awesome, and it's coming to St. Clair Square. It's the one-of-a-kind Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys. Be the first to see it and experience it at Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. The Yo-Stick is totally new, the next generation of yo-yo. Learn exciting new tricks from expert Yo-Stick performers. Kids Expo is the place to check out the latest in family-oriented products and services, information and education, and activities and entertainment. Visit the SBC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. See the Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys and much, much more at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Online hunting is okay as long as you're hunting for conspiracies. Catch decent guy Don Griffin online at WGNU.net.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows!
Cotton candy!
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast!
I want pizza! Pizza! Pizza!
Popcorn!
That's why they have you.
French fries!
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food, to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
You know, it must have been cold standing there in my shadow. You never had the sunlight on your face. But you know, you were content to let me shine while you even walked a few steps behind. And I was the one with all the glory while you were the one behind me with all that strength. Just a face without a name, but I never even once heard you complain.
This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. Our contact numbers are 454-0400 locally, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Did you know you were my hero? Each and every last one of you all. Countless people, no faces, no names, all of the good things that you're doing, all of the generosity, all of the expressions of generosity that are going out, just you're showing your humanity. We still need you. We got a 40-foot truck at 5415 Page. That's right at Arlington, two blocks west of Union. We need to fill it. It will be going to rural areas of Mississippi. And Louisiana and Alabama. We cannot forget Alabama. We don't hear a lot of coverage about the impact of this hurricane on Alabama, but it was devastated as well. So let us not forget the victims of the hurricane. And as Brother Wood told us this morning, let us not forget the already homeless that we have. And therefore, we must push, and we must push our local government, our state and federal government, to come up with a plan for addressing the issue of homelessness in this country. I'm going to go to the phone lines right now. I'm going to talk to a caller. Good morning.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Fine. I'm interested in the homeless as well. And I had a lady to come to my house yesterday, and I live in the community in the 18th Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very concerned because she was sleeping in the car with a baby.
Mm.
She came to the house. She had no place to stay. She had tried all those thousands of places that they're supposed to go to, those homeless places.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't find one place to go to. And it was after hours. She had no place. We called, no emergency numbers. We couldn't hardly get her into anything. So we end up having to take her out and take her over to one place we found for the child to go to, so that's where she ended up at.
Okay.
But I think that we need a committee. The neighborhoods, the organizations need to get together, have one board or a group of boards together, and do something about this. It's time to not talk. It's time to do.
Did you get the St. Louis American yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Well, get it, okay, because I believe, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me, but there is almost a full-page ad. There is going to be a meeting, I believe it is, and if anyone in the listening audience is aware of it and involved with it, I may try, I believe one of my goddaughters is involved in it. They're going to be meeting in University City, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, next Saturday. And I believe it's from 1:30 to 3:30. And I'm just doing this because I read the paper and I was very sleepy. But I'm
just wish somebody could contact me on this number.
Yeah, I'm
454-0663, Amanda Curtis.
Okay. Well, certainly people can contact you, 454-0663. Okay. Well, please try to contact anyone who can give any type of assistance. But I'm going to try to see if I can locate a St. Louis American when we are going to the news.
Mm-hmm.
But
because I need to deal with this. I'm a community person. I love to do, but I have no experience on where to send them or what to do. I know about the food as a food bank.
Why don't you contact, because the Department of Human Services for the City of St. Louis, I don't have that number, but I'm sure if you would dial 622-4800.
622-4800.
Right, that is the Citizen Service Bureau, and they should be able to give you the number for the Department of Human Resources,
mm-hmm.
Human Services, rather, basically Department of Welfare for the City of St. Louis, and they should have some referral information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is it, and everything had to be referral, and the lady just didn't have any place to stay.
And that's the problem that we have, and we need to collaborate on how to address it, because it needs to be addressed. Okay.
And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to know, a call, make a committee. I mean, I'm willing to start acting with these people so that they have some place to stay.
All right. Well, that's good. We need as many volunteers and helpers in that regard as you can. Thank you so much for your call.
You. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Edward.
Good morning.
You're on the air, dear.
Oh, thank you. Listen, I was told by my daughter, she attends Xavier,
mm-hmm.
and she said a lot of those prisoners managed to get away. How, they don't know.
Well, you can imagine how they could.
Okay,
I mean,
yes, I can. Actually, they may have let them go
mm-hmm.
once they saw how serious it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there by the dome, ma'am.
I know. I'm familiar with it. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so I don't know if the government's going to, if anyone down is going to, fess up to it. But being as they got away, got out of the jail, they made it over to the darn dome, and they mingled in, And some of them went and got guns, rifles out of the Walmart down there. And I think this is where the shooting came in at.
Hmm. Well, I think you're probably correct. It's my understanding that some of the individuals who were, like, being held in jails on, like, you know, traffic warrants and stuff like that, things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
that they were released. Now, and I've heard stories about exactly what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
but I will bet you that some of the individuals that acquired those guns were not people who were arrested already, but individuals who some wanted to do some wrong, and some, as individuals said, some of them purchased them to protect their property. I mean, didn't purchase them, they took them
right.
to protect their property. So it, eventually it will be looked into, but, you know, right now the focus is still on evacuating people, and those discussions will come up later. I'm sure they will.
I noticed the Army, they didn't respond until, I guess, when the prisoners were, I'm pretty sure when the prisoners got out, that's when they basically responded. And they had five of them that got killed down there. And I believe those were some of the prisoners that they were after. So I wanted to share that with the listening audience.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. Good morning, you're on the air. Well, I guess they left us. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Great. I would like to build on the conversation you had with the young lady who was concerned about how a particular caller were classifying us over the air.
Yeah.
As lazy. And I'm not talking about that caller. I could care less.
Okay.
I want to build on her conversation.
Okay.
Because for 5 years, I was in a labor movement. And my father was also in the labor movement for 30 years until he died. And what's going on right now, it has nothing to do with black people not being qualified. It has to do with discrimination. And I say this is because in the 60s, what they used to do, you being a lawyer...
Brother, you want to hold on until after the news. I'll let you finish your
story. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
GNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Most of those who want to leave New Orleans already have. Police say 80% of voluntary evacuees have cleared out, and others...
Wait, hey. You got a gun.
Relax, man.
Nice.
You son of a...
When police tried to evacuate that woman, they say she grabbed a gun and a switchblade. ABC's Bob Schmidt has more from New Orleans.
There are any number of reasons why some New Orleanians don't want to go against their will. In dry areas, such as the French Quarter, some holdouts want to wait till the power comes back on. They say they have enough food and water. The Army's been bringing them ice. Others in the flooded areas say they fear criminals will prey on them if they try to make it to safety. Still others are just plain stubborn.
Officials hope to ID bodies with dental records, DNA, and fingerprints. Collection sites and morgues are being set up. And a Dutch company has been asked to ship a mortuary. ABC's Linda Alban has more on that from the Foreign Desk in London.
The temporary mass mortuary weighs about 600 tons and is so big the company is also shipping accommodation to house up to 2,500 people involved in all aspects of the operation. De Boer, the Dutch company, says at first the order was for a much smaller facility, but was scaled up to be able to hold up to 10,000 bodies. Transport will begin on Saturday. The structure is expected to remain in the New Orleans area for an estimated 3 to 6 months during the recovery and identification process.
ABC's Linda Alban in London. FEMA's been under heavy criticism for a slow response. Leo Bosner is the FEMA union president.
All of us are just shaking our heads and saying, this isn't going to be enough. And the director has to know this isn't going to be enough, but nothing more seemed to be happening.
FEMA Director Michael Brown disputes a Time magazine report that challenges his bio. It said he helped oversee emergency services in Edmond, Oklahoma. One city official reportedly said he was more like an intern there. This is ABC News.
Mark your calendar. Kohl's two-day sale is this Friday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's two full days of incredible savings on hundreds of items throughout the store. You'll save on everything from hot looks for back to school to the latest fashions for fall. From bright buys for your home to time savers for your kitchen. Kohl's two-day sale. It's 2 days that are too good to miss. This Friday and Saturday from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. Only at Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
It's time for the ultimate ATV deal at Bombardier ATV's fall clearance event. Get up to 6 times longer warranty coverage than the competition. A full 3 years on Bombardier ATVs, like the most powerful and versatile Outlander. Plus, rebates up to $800 on 05 and prior models. Hurry, because this ultimate deal ends September 30th. Find a Bombardier ATV dealer near you at BRP.com. Offer ends 9/30/05. Riders must be at least 16 years old and have taken a training course. See dealer for fleet offer details.
Ophelia weakened to a tropical storm, moved away from Florida's northeast coast, and could head back toward land next week, maybe as a hurricane. A tropical storm warning remains in effect for now. There have already been telethons. This will be a weekend full of fundraisers for Katrina survivors. ABC's Dave Alpert has a preview.
You don't have to put up a fight.
Shelter from the Storm, a concert for the Gulf Coast, will air on all major broadcast networks and dozens of cable channels. It'll feature performances from U2, Kanye West, Mariah Carey, and 10 other acts. Celebrity presenters will include Jennifer Aniston, Ellen DeGeneres, and Jack Nicholson. Viewers will be asked to donate to the American Red Cross or the Salvation Army. Dave Alford, ABC News, Hollywood.
Let me take some of the punches for you.
ABC Radio will also broadcast that show. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a former Boeing hangar at Lambert St. Louis International Airport is ready to provide shelter for hundreds of survivors of Hurricane Katrina. Governor Matt Blunt says the facility took a lot of hard work, but it's ready to provide a safe, hospitable environment to displaced citizens.
Federal authorities that have seen this site have said this is a model. This should be a national model of how you create a good environment for traumatized, displaced Americans to come to and begin to get their lives back in order.
Blunt says FEMA has advised state officials to be ready for as many as 500 evacuees at Lambert on Monday. The shelter is set up to accommodate up to 2,000 people with a full cafeteria, medical facilities, showers, clothing, and sleeping quarters. Missouri Homeland Security Director Michael Chapman has turned in his resignation. After less than a year on the job, Chapman is resigning and will return to St. Louis to be with his family. Public Safety Director Mark James will take over Chapman's responsibilities. Illinois health officials are confirming 5 new cases of West Nile virus, bringing the number of diagnosed cases this year to 110 statewide. The new cases involve 3 people from suburban Cook County, including a 28-year-old woman, a 58-year-old woman, and a 78-year-old man. The new cases also include a 77-year-old woman from Kane County and a 23-year-old woman from McHenry County. The disease is transmitted through the bite of a mosquito that has picked up the virus by feeding on an infected bird. Sunday marks the 4th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on our nation. St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa says it's a day he'll never forget. The chief says his life went into super hyper speed when he arrived at work on the morning of September 11, 2001, and communicated with the FBI, the St. Louis County Police, and the local media. Finally this hour, motorists in America are feeling the financial impact of Hurricane Katrina as gas prices have soared since the storm hit the Gulf Coast last week. The Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows the national average for regular unleaded is $3.08 a gallon. That's 24 cents more than last week's average and reflects a nearly 50-cent surge over the past 2 weeks. The average for premium is a quarter higher this week at $3.28 a gallon. This marks the first time in the history of the Price at the Pump survey that both averages were over the $3 mark. In another first, people living in the eastern U.S. as a whole are shelling out the most to fill up their tanks. Buffalo, New York is this week's surveyed city with the highest gas prices. A gallon of regular is averaging $3.49 there. With regular unleaded averaging $3.41 a gallon, Baltimore is Buffalo's closest competitor. California traditionally sports the highest gas prices in the land. This WGNU News report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckert's Apple Fest. Southbound 170 at Ladue, there's a spilled load of trash on the road. The right lane is blocked. Traffic backs up to St. Charles Rock Road at this hour. Northbound 55 at Union, there's a report of an accident been cleared. However, the traffic still backs up to Rivas Barracks. Northbound 55 at Imperial Main, there's road construction, the right lane is closed. Eastbound 70 at Blanchard Bridge, there's road construction, the right lane is closed. Crews are in the final stage of bridge work. All lanes are scheduled to reopen on Saturday. There are no delays at this time. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction, the left lane is closed. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway, construction has that work exit closed for repairs. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around that area. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic's finally easing up this hour. Westbound 270 between Riverview and New Florissant, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 at 270, look for normal traffic as well. Westbound 40 at Hanley, that traffic's easing. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing all the way in, it looks good. County Highway Z at Cherry, there's a report of an overturned truck. Lafayette Avenue at Nebraska, there's a report of an accident involving a pedestrian, so use caution as you roll up on those areas. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckert's Apple Fest. Apple Fest is going on now at Eckert's, so bring the whole family out for apple picking, tractor rides, music, and lots of country fun. Eckert's in Belleville, Grafton, and Millstadt. For more information, visit www.eckerts.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the mid-90s this evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. For Saturday, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear once again with a low around 70. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 76, both under hazy, sunny conditions. Stay tuned. More of the wake-up call is up next. Liz will return on Monday, but today we have Irene J. Smith, Beaumont graduate, filling in for her. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
Kidney disease is one of those conditions that can sneak up on us. It has no symptoms in its early stages, and it shares symptoms with other illnesses, so it might be hard to diagnose. Here are some of the signs: a lowered appetite, tiredness, trouble concentrating or sleeping, muscle cramping at night, swollen feet and ankles. You can have puffiness around your eyes, especially in the morning, also dry, itchy skin, and the urge to urinate more often, especially at nighttime. Some people might not realize they have kidney disease until it's late stages. High blood pressure can cause kidney disease, and kidney disease can also cause high blood pressure. Both conditions can occur in diabetics. Ask your doctor about screening or testing for kidney disease, especially if you have high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes. Medications and lifestyle changes are used as treatment. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
want you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
There's plenty of light.
Oh, a new
day is dawning, sunny and bright.
Oh,
but after I've been crying all night, the sun is cold and the new day seems old. Since I lost my baby,
since I lost my baby.
Children are playing. There's plenty of work and the bosses are paying. Not a sad word should a young heart be saying.
But fun is a fool
and with money I'm poor.
Cool.
Since I lost my baby,
since I lost my baby.
Temptations. Around 5 or 6 years old, down on Sheridan Avenue. You know, that was back in the days when you could walk into a restaurant and Three Nickels was down there, and you can go and you could listen to some music and spend less than a quarter, a cut at that time. Those days have long since gone. We're going to go back to Kevin, let him finish his words. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I lost track now. But I was just wanting to build on that young lady that was concerned about a statement that was made. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I understand.
Okay. Well, you know, what we don't do anymore, especially to prove what she's saying is true, that we do work, we want to work, and we're all qualified, is that in the 60s, now this is street talk or anecdotal, it's not published, but they used to do things like send a black person there to apply for the job that we know is qualified. I already know some other people who don't have the same qualifications, and they don't get the job. Which you have to set a case. You know, you're a lawyer. You just can't say someone is discriminating. You have to set a case. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You have to set up a case. And that's how they set cases up. They did things, the Clays did things like sit downtown in that, I forgot the name of that bank.
Jefferson Bank.
They just
celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Jefferson Bank.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. I was 3 when it was created. So that's what we need to do again. We don't have a lot of. We have actually had people out there who would like to do that, but you can't. I got disenchanted with the union movement because they don't want to do that. And I've actually tried to entertain things to some of our representatives, and I'm not going to name them right now. That they don't want to do that either. That's the only way we can prove it. We have to fight for it. And one particular place that really interests me is Alberici Construction. And
well, why don't you get on it?
I don't have the funds anymore because I got in trouble because they said I was concentrating too much on discrimination suits. But that's the only problem that we have. See, it's a myth out there that black people are not qualified, or we have plenty of people who are educated, plenty of people who are qualified, do plenty of things. And before we do anything, we got to get the qualified people hired. You know, we have to start from the top.
That's true.
You have to start from the top, because if you can't get a person who is degreed, who has 20 years experience hired somewhere, how can I get somebody in an entry level job? You know,
that's very true, and I know you keep saying, you know, you took it to certain representatives. You don't have to mention their names or anything.
I would like to, but I know you don't like that, so that's why I'm not doing it. I try to respect the host. You know?
Okay, and that's okay. But I think the other thing, and I just think about this message, and my daughter changes the voicemail on her cell phone, a message every now. But the first message that I really liked that she had on there was, if you're not willing to fight for yourself, then who do you think will fight for you?
You know what? And I was like, you're right. I mean, but we, you know, it's like when I joined the military, the United people in this country expected me to, because I was a soldier, regardless if you believe in war or not, you expected me to fight for this country. If you're going to pay me to join the military, because they do pay us. So when I see a representative, and when I vote for a representative into Congress, or...
You vote for them to represent you in the legislature.
For legislature. Because in this country, you can't arm yourself and take it. You know, so what we have is a representative government to stop all of that.
Okay.
Because other countries, you know, when people are treated horribly, like black people are treated, mm-hmm. they take up arms. That's why we're having this problem in Iraq.
Well, you know, Kevin, I'm gonna move on. But I do want you to know that you are so kind. People are so kind. Since I didn't eat yesterday at all, someone was kind enough to bring me a liquid. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, sister. Thank you for looking out. Brother, I want to move on because I have a full board to get in some other calls, but I appreciate your call so very much. But just remember, people want others to fight for them, and they expect elected officials to do everything, and they cannot. You know, leadership is born from you.
You know what, Irene? It's a bigger issue out there than an average person doing what I'm saying. You need a legislator. You need someone like your congressperson to be involved in that, because it's a myth out there. I mean, I could show you, if I could meet you one day, show you data, because I go to places like...
I believe you. You don't
think
need,
you
don't,
even know in
you,
your heart. You
I
know
mean,
that.
I know.
Your daughter's going through that. They are just discriminating.
I understand the discrimination.
But you can't do that without money.
I understand
and
that.
Political power.
I understand that.
Okay,
and that
point
is very well taken. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ron. Bye.
Okay. Steve on the car phone. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, my daughter got out of the Navy recently, and she went back to school. She's in college. And it gives me a chance to pick up a lot of the reading material she brings back around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I've been reading Malcolm X's Message to His Grassroots.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what, if there is not a more pertinent message today than, what was it, 1964, I think?
Mm-hmm, 1964.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when you compare the situation down in New Orleans, and then you look over the situation pulling out of the West Bank. Now, one of the biggest questions I got is paying those settlers such exorbitant sums of money. That's coming out of our pockets. And when you look at the meanness, the spirit of what's going on down in New Orleans, you know,
may I ask you something? How did you conclude that the money that they were paying them was exorbitant?
Well, you know, these people are getting paid from, you know, I've heard ranges up to $500,000, but you know, the most consistent range I've heard is like $150,000 a family to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israel, they don't have a vibrant economy of their own. You know, they're getting their money off us. Okay, where are these settlers getting their money? We're paying those settlers to pull out. That money's coming out of our pocket. And then when you look at, you know, $1,000 on a FEMA card today.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I've been reading Malcolm X's Messages, Grassroots. I can't for the life of see, you know, and I've also been reading Thoreau, you know.
You've also been reading who?
Henry Thoreau.
Okay, yeah.
The government's best at which leads government.
Yes.
But, you know, Thoreau, he would call this administration today mindless idiots.
It would be good if one day we could really have, I think Malcolm's message that I'm more familiar with, is a very good one. And if you take Malcolm's message and you look at the blueprint that he set forth, as well as the blueprint that the Panther Party set forth with their 10-point program, I mean, it basically addressed the needs of people in the community, from health care to feeding them to education. The blueprints are already there to help us to improve the quality of life for all of our people.
You know, let's not forget the word our Constitution. It says when there's a failure, of the institutions that redress the problems of our society. We have every right to raise up arms in revolution against the government. Mm.
That's true.
What we see right now is a perfect case. We should be rising up across this nation to put this administration out of business. Not just over this New Orleans deal, because
they don't have a domestic policy.
Uh-huh.
It's a war policy. That the present administration has a war policy. There is no domestic policy at all.
I heard somewhere somebody said yesterday that they heard that Mexican troops were on our soil under arms around San Antonio delivering supplies.
I have no idea.
Well, I just heard that on the radio yesterday. They said that was on CNN. So.
Oh, okay. All righty then.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for your comments. Good morning. Good morning. You're with us. You're listening to your radio, and we're talking to you. Mimi? Well, I guess Mimi is gone. So I'm going to go to the Vachon lady.
I'm speaking to the Beaumont lady, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Glad to speak to you on your last day because I have really been listening, have been enjoying you. Oh, I'm just so thrilled to hear, knowing you from the 19th Ward, you know who I am.
Yes, ma'am.
But I'd rather be the Vachon lady. I just want to let people know that this is something that we are going through with this hurricane situation that we never thought in our lifetime we would see compared to other things. But let us stay prayerfully, and let us please do what we can. I heard a dime or a dollar. Whatever it is that a person has, give it to your church. I am a staunch member of the Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church, who will be celebrating our 120th year in November, the second Sunday. But we have already given, and I'm hoping it was through the National Baptist Convention. Dr. Shaw asked that all the churches in St. Louis would get their funds together, whatever. Some of us, Ms. Smith, have also been giving to the foundations for Nellie, for Demetrius Johnson. Anything that you can do, listeners, please. Let us stay prayerful over this situation. We know that we are situated on the New Madrid Fault. It could be us tonight or tomorrow. Read, people, and understand. And please let us all remember, Dunbar Elementary School Alumni Association is just taking a hiatus, but we will be back. Carver, Banneker, all the schools that came on the Labor Day weekend, we will be back, and I'll be on this station telling you when the next meeting will be. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Love you, too. Thank you so much. And again, toward that end, we do have a 40-foot truck at 5415 Page on the side of Emerson School, right at Page in Arlington, two blocks west of Union. It was filling up yesterday when I was by there. Again, we need non-perishable items, everything that you would need household-wise, clothing, you know, food, canned goods, toys for the children, crayons, everything. You know, the kids need toys, and they need school supplies, clothing, sanitary items, bleach, peroxide, alcohol, cotton balls, toothpaste, toothbrushes. Our people need it all. Please. The truck will be dropping off items along rural parts of Mississippi and Louisiana. Let us not forget Alabama, because Alabama was impacted as well. Sisters and brothers, just get in where you fit in. Some folks say, I don't want to be bothered with them. I'm not giving to them. Fine. Don't give to them. Go give where you want to give. But give. And as Brother Woodard reminded us this morning, we have a homeless crisis in this country that has been overlooked, and hopefully this will bring it to the forefront again, where there will be a domestic policy, because you know the President, federal administration, under George Bush, these are war hawks. They have been concerned about creating war so that their friends could make money for the most part. but do not have a domestic policy in addressing domestic issues. But these are issues that are very close because they're close to home. And so we also need to be thinking in terms of that. And I know that there was a big full-page ad about, I guess, a summit, I believe it was called, that will be happening at University City. I believe it's next Saturday. Again, I just want to remember and remind the listening audience that no, Sister Marva Miller, she underwent surgery yesterday. It's my understanding that she is doing okay. She's coming through. She is a trooper, but she's got a long mending period. So, Lord, she asked that you would just keep her lifted up in prayer. Every time I've talked to her mother just said she just wants everyone to keep her lifted in prayer. So please do that, and please also keep lifted in prayer. The hurricane victims, many have lost not only their homes, but they have also lost loved ones, and that is a very traumatic situation under normal circumstances. And with these circumstances that we are confronted with at this time, they're even greater. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Smith. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Good. You know, I was listening to the brother you was talking to that was doing the union organizing, and I was listening to some of the things he was talking about, and I've been down that same road in almost the same respect with what he's talking about. But you remember the poverty program? I don't think you're old enough to quite remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
You do?
I remember. I'm 51, so I was young, but I remember because I was always interested in politics and keeping up with things from the time I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I remember the anti-poverty programs.
Right.
You know, I remember a lot of things. I remember how a lot of money was wasted.
That's what I was just getting ready to say.
And I can talk about the poverty pimps, but we'll leave that discussion for another day.
And model cities, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
But you know what? We made a lot of rich people richer. That's what that did. And then we haul off and elected a man named Richard Nixon, which kind of started dismantling that whole idea from the day he set foot in office.
Well, you know what? I think you need to go back and look a little bit closer at what Nixon did. Because
he had to do those things. He had to bring affirmative action to keep the stop the lawsuits.
But he also created the CETA program.
Right.
A comprehensive educational training agency, and a lot of people benefited from that.
Well,
I
know they did. I'm saying, but it didn't eradicate.
And I'm not a Richard Nixon fan, but I'm just saying that there were some things that he did that the Democrats didn't do.
Well, you know, I don't have time to go through all the details. I understand exactly what you're saying, but I'm saying that our country is not set up to deal with poverty. You know, here we are talking about building Star Wars, you know, and these dikes are just in terrible shape. And see, we spent $1 trillion on Star Wars, but the leadership in our country won't mention the fact that we need some help in these dikes.
How much money did we spend just transporting the spaceship back to Orlando?
And see, people are worried about the education of these black children right now. These children are getting one heck of an education about what our country is about today. You know, setting them in the classroom, it will not. You know, you can't get a better education on what America's about than what they're going through right now. You know what I'm saying? And see, they already bringing workers in to Louisiana from Alabama to start cleaning up and doing. Now, these people sitting over here in hangars need jobs.
So then there should be an aspect of our community that is organizing and, you know, creating a database, contacting people in those areas where they can put up, if it's a tent city or whatever it is, so that these men and women that want to go can go back to help rebuild their community.
That's how you're going to find them. You know, why would you like to get off the bus in Utah? You know, and then they got to deal with the cold up there, and they're not prepared to deal with the cold. You know, I don't know what kind of job they think they're going to get up there. You know what I'm saying?
I believe that the individuals who got dropped off in places, I just hope and believe that they have the resilience to leave. Some way to get out of there. You know, it's an unfortunate situation that perhaps down the road will be addressed. But in the meantime, I think that those who are involved in assisting the evacuees should also come up with a plan to get some of them back, because there are going to be 10,000 jobs that will be created. And these will not be low-paying jobs.
And see, they already laying everything off on Katrina. You know, Katrina went through there and did what Katrina was supposed to do. It's a hurricane. You know, but what Katrina left was the remnants of what man didn't do. That's what happened. They're not victims of Katrina anymore. They're victims of this government, of this administration.
Thank you, bro. You know? We're at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith. We'll be back with you after the break.
The believers at El Mukminun Islamic Center would like to invite and encourage you to join us for our Saturday morning program, Focus on Al-Islam, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., featuring the son of Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his public addresses and lectures on Islam and values of social well-being to the community of humanity. Let's focus on Al-Islam every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on WGNU Radio.
You know the place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not. I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Ever start a project by yourself, only to find you needed someone to help you? Fact is, when you link your resources with those of others, more gets done faster and benefits more people. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has helped thousands of children in 20 countries in Europe, Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Hope for the Nations links people and resources in the U.S. and Canada to help homeless children become tomorrow's leaders, productive leaders who help their communities become self-sufficient and help even more people. Learn more about Hope for the Nations. Find out how you can link your resources and help children throughout the world. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. This is one project that needs your help.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of Today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen? WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
He wasn't singing in falsettos. Oh, doesn't that sound so good? I like that song. I like a lot of different music. Can't help myself. Just surrounded by it growing up as a kid. Didn't have much money, but, you know, the radio. And we listened to the radio from the time, you know, you get up in the morning. I don't know how many of you all grew up on, I'm not going to mention the radio station. And, you know, 10 minutes to 7, you heard the march. You know, it was time to get on the bus stop, and you listen to KATZ, and whoo, man, all that stuff going on. Well, you know, I'm going to be with you only for about 22 more minutes, and there is still that bus. I'm sorry, the truck, 40-footer, that we are trying to fill, that is located at 5415 Page, two blocks west of Union, right at Arlington along Emerson School. And where is that truck headed? That truck is headed to our sisters and brothers along the Gulf Port who have been devastated by the hurricane. It's headed to Mississippi. It's headed to Louisiana, rural ports of Mississippi and Louisiana. And let us not forget Alabama. You know, we haven't heard a lot on the news of few clips here and there, and we know how proportional reporting is, so they're going to focus in on the areas that are largest and the most devastation. But there have been areas throughout the Gulfport that have been simply devastated, totally destroyed, nothing left. And now we're faced with the situation of mandatory evacuation, which we understand, in Louisiana. And looks like that's getting ready to become a political football. My. Sisters, brother, again, please do all that you can, wherever you can. Get in where you fit in. If you don't have anything to give, there are a number of evacuees who have come to the St. Louis area. Volunteers are needed. Go, roll your sleeves up, you know, welcome them. Some of them just need a hug. You know, some of them just need a hug, just need someone to talk to. We are hopeful that the clergy, regardless of political affiliation, will be permitted to get in and talk to and be a comfort to and welcome the evacuees out at the airport, welcome them to our city and counsel with them and pray with them. And we are hopeful that volunteer organizations will have access to the people out there because they are so disconnected from our city. And we realize that rapidly they will be placing them in temporary, more permanent housing. But in the meantime, they need to be comforted. They need to know that we in St. Louis care about them. The same thing at the Gumbel site. out in Chesterfield. We are hopeful that there will be open access from the community. You know, of course, there's a system that should be in place to register, and I understand they don't just want people flooding in, but there should be a process whereby individuals can volunteer. I'm going to go to the phone lines at this time, and I'm going to talk to someone we haven't heard from in a while. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good, dear. How are you?
Good. I was hoping that somehow we'd know where we could go to register to open our arms to the evacuees. But I was just worried about the people who are being displaced so far away as Utah and California. Now, this is to keep those people from being able to get back. Because, see, they can pay the Mexicans next to nothing. And they're making jobs for Bosnians, please believe me. And they're going to give them much more money. But they want us so far away that when they write history, they'll say, the blacks didn't want to come back.
So then the question for us and the task that we have at hand is, what can we do to come up with a plan quickly to get individuals who came from those areas back close to the areas so that they would have an opportunity to get some of those 10,000 jobs that are going to be available to rebuild their homes and their city?
I don't know, but I know I belong to an organization that's going to do what it can to give them some comfort while they're here and try to adopt some families while they're here.
That's
but
good.
When it comes to being able to help them get back, that wasn't mentioned. Of course, I can bring it up when we meet again.
So that's something that we should be addressing to our congressman?
Right.
To the U.S.
Congressman Clay.
Called Congressman Clay, called Kit Bond, called Talon, and also called the elected officials from those areas, you know.
All right.
The elected officials from those areas and ask them what means are going to be provided. I mean, we have a lot of job opportunities for individuals, particularly from the New Orleans area, many of which who worked in the tourism and were not highly paid, but this is an opportunity. I mean, laborers make good wages.
They do. They do.
Laborers,
they do.
Construction laborers make good wages.
Because I heard on the news that one man said, I can do this, that, and the other on television. And I want them to be able to go back and get those jobs. But like one said yesterday, here I am in Utah, and I thought we were going to be much closer than this. You know, they didn't know till they got on the plane or the bus. They wouldn't tell them.
So I think there has to be some coordination with the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and FEMA to whatever extent.
FEMA is behind all this. That's the reason why people were expecting to go to Charleston, South Carolina, and end up in Charleston, West Virginia. Because somebody is being well paid, and I think they're greasing a lot of palms to get these people as far away. Because some people are so traumatized, they don't think about going back. And some would not go back, you know, no matter what.
A lot of them would.
And for those who want to go back, I surely would hope that they would be able to go back because there are going to be some good jobs down there for a while. And why have people who don't live in the area go down there and make the money and then they go on back home?
Well, many of us in our community are certainly accustomed to seeing individuals who don't look like people from our communities come in, make the money. I mean, look at the situation down there. I drive through. Say, for example, the construction that's going on across from Cochran Housing Project in the plaza. You know,
right.
I counted a total of two African Americans, and even the people that are working there, they're from Alton.
Sister,
we had a break time.
Every time I pass a construction site, I look. Every time I'm on the highway, I look and I start counting. I guess people think I'm really nutty, but I count. How many people look like me do I see?
Well, you don't have a monopoly.
My taxes are going to pay for somebody's wage, and I want some of those folks who look like me to be making the money.
Well, you don't have a monopoly on that, but we're at a break time. Thanks for calling in.
All right. I enjoyed you being there, and I hope you will be there the next time Liz is gone.
All right.
All right.
This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is yours truly, Irene J. Smith. I'll be back with you after the break. Stay tuned.
You've made mistakes too.
you been wondering what Susan Smith Harmon has been up to lately? Well, wonder no more. The airwaves were just a little too irresistible for her to stay away for long. Now you can catch Susan on the WGNU airwaves on Friday mornings from 10 to noon. Spend your Fridays with Susan Smith Harmon from 10 a.m. to noon here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Right now the sun is shining. People are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Help thousands of victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
Ahoy, mateys! This is your captain here. This is no time to scrub the deck. It's time to take the crew to Kids Expo 2005. Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. You'll find a shipload of family-oriented products and services, including the debut of the new Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys, plus activities and entertainment for everyone. Don't forget to stop by Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars of gifts and prizes, including the grand prize, me very own treasure chest. Set sail now for Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square and sponsored by me shipmates at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
You know, I was listening to the fella that union organizer.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to name the representative.
Mm-hmm.
What was wrong with him naming those representatives?
There's no problem naming them.
I noticed he say...
People's names have been called out over the air. I guess what he was talking about, I just don't like people to just keep pouncing on someone, but I don't care about, they name people all the time.
But I noticed that you didn't want him to name those names.
No, I didn't tell him not to name. He assumed that Priz, and people know that I'm not gonna, if we're gonna talk about that, I'm gonna move on to another caller about whether or not he could say it. Well, go ahead.
Right, quick. Now, you know, what possessed you to want to be a lawyer? I just want to hear this.
What possessed me?
Yeah, that you want to be a lawyer.
When I was younger, I wanted to be a lawyer because I was very concerned about the way our people were being treated, and I wanted in some way use my legal skills to help our people.
And I agree with that. Were you disappointed after you got with this racist, bigoted system? Did you get disappointed in what you went through when you was on that bench?
Oh, certainly.
Huh?
Certainly,
and
yes.
See, that's the whole problem right there, is that when you apply for these things and want to help your people. Now, you could have been a Clarence Thomas. I think you would have stayed there.
Probably.
You know, so what did that tell you about this system?
You know what? The system is racist. The system is not fair. But, you know, some of us, despite all of that, some of us manage to make it and still make very strong statements. I mean, I think of Ronnie White. Okay,
yeah.
In terms of what he's been able to do since he's been on the bench, and there are probably other countless judges that I don't even know by name that have been able to have maintained their principles and their integrity, but it's a difficult system to navigate.
And one other thing, you know, that I noticed that you're not alderwoman anymore.
No, I chose not to run for my automatic seat, and instead I ran for mayor.
And I noticed in Leah's commercial, she said that alderwoman,
well,
Irene Smith, will be taking her place while she's gone.
I think the reason why she said that is because still now, say for an example, and it depends on where I am, people still call me alderwoman, people call me judge, people call me counselor.
I agree with
so
that.
So I guess maybe for her standpoint, I'll always be alderwoman Irene J. Smith. So that's why she said it. That's what I would think.
Because for me, I'm Irene J. Smith.
I'm Irene J. Smith. That's the name my mother gave me.
I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about Bernice King. When she lost that election, Liz would not let anybody call her alderwoman anymore. She would hang up on them if they called
her.
Hold on,
Priz. Now, I'm not going to, I mean, whatever she did, that speaks for itself. But I'm not going to allow us to spend our time talking about what the host of this show that I'm sitting in for did.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Have a good one. Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Bill, on the car phone.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Smith. I had a comment. I believe if you check the record over the last 20 years, the mayors of New Orleans have been black, correct?
I'm not sure, but you may be correct.
Yeah, and I think...
No. I don't think that's totally accurate.
Well, you had Mr. Moriel, then you had his son, and you had another gentleman in there, too. And I think the guy that's head of the Urban League, his father was in there at least 12 years.
Maybe you may be correct. Over the last 20 years, you may be correct.
Right,
okay,
right.
So
I just want to put that out there because a lot of us don't know that.
Okay,
but also that the congressman who represents New Orleans, he's under indictment, correct?
I have no idea.
His name is Jefferson.
I have no idea. Is
black guy, right?
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
And you know,
I'm not trying to be negative. With this.
No, no.
These are facts.
But see, you automatically got the fact. I just wanted to ask you, what was your point? I don't have any problem with
okay,
people putting facts in.
My point is that when people say, well, is this happening? Black people never in charge. Black people in charge, well, then really put yourself in charge of the situation. That's all. Just don't be carrying any water. If you're in charge, don't carry any water.
That's right.
If
you pull the trigger. If you have the trigger to pull, pull it.
No, just take charge. Like General Allen Ray says, take charge. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
Just quit carrying any water.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Carfon.
How you doing, Miss Irene J. Smith?
I'm okay. I'm good. I'm just about finished my job in about 5 minutes.
Are you currently practicing law?
I practice very selectively because right now I have a number of family members who are ill, and I have about the most flexible schedule in my family. So I am very limitedly practicing.
Okay. Yes, because you were a good friend of mine, a friend of Miss Bison.
Oh, okay.
Right. Let me just say this in reference to what's going on down there. I hear a lot of stuff the blame. Let me ask you this, you know, because the Black Mirror was taking a lot of heat about the buses. How many people do you think would have actually got on those buses and went to the Superdome before the hurricane hit? I'm going to be honest with you.
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I can understand criticism is being levied at everybody. So, you know, when you sit in the seat, you're going to take the heat. So,
right. My thing is, I don't think
you know, would you have gotten on one of those buses if they said, okay, the hurricane's going to hit? Most people would have rolled it out because they're not thinking about any levee breaking.
They're accustomed to it. But I guess, objectively speaking, in fairness, because we've been critical of Bush and we've been critical of the state of the governor of Louisiana. The question is, were the buses ready to go? Because perhaps that was part of the evacuation plan. I don't know. So I can certainly understand people raising that as a question. And I know we have a tendency to be very protective of members that look like us when they are in leadership positions. And that is well fine, because quite often they are unfairly criticized.
Right. And I'm not trying to protect them. I'm just saying that, you know, you and I know that
I don't think most of the people would have gotten on
those buses. I'm just saying, because they're used to that. They didn't say that. They've had so many false situations come about. Well, and it's never happened. So, I mean, you know, to say that this stuff, to me, after the situation occurred, should have been where the emphasis is put on. So, to me, telling somebody, okay, well, you need to get on this bus to evacuate to the Superdome because your house is getting ready to get destroyed. Obviously, they would have said it like that, then they would have got on the buses, but nobody was thinking like that. Talking about the criticism comes through the slow response.
I think you're absolutely right, and what they're saying is the slow response also takes into consideration what the mayor, perhaps, of New Orleans didn't do. So, okay? I'm going to try to get one more call in. You have a good weekend, dear.
All right.
Bye-bye. Caller, you're going to have the last word.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Would you turn on your radio, please? You're going to have the last word. You have about a minute.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Caller, talk to us.
Hi. Miss Irene.
Yes.
My name is Henrietta Reed, and the reason I'm calling looking for shelter for myself and my two-year-old. I've listened at your talk radio. And
if you're near or can't get near a phone, call
622-4800
and try to get the number for the Department of Human Services for the City of St. Louis, and perhaps they can give you some assistance.
622-4800.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This has been Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. Little Sister Talker will be back in the seat on Monday. I've had a good time talking with you. Again, don't forget the truck on page 5415 page. Let's fill it up so it can get on its way back to the South.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. President Bush is planning another trip to the storm zone.
In his time of struggle, the American people need to know we're not struggling alone.
Mr. Bush moments ago at the State Department for the swearing-in of longtime aide Karen Hughes as Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy.
I want to thank the members of the diplomatic corps who are with us today. I want to thank the world community for its prayers and for the